On the air, online, on the Sportsnet mobile app, and on your smart speaker. Boomer in the morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Thursday, Boomer here in the iconic downtown studios. We've got Ryan Pinder in the basement studios, Rhett Warner along as well. Boys, Ryan, good morning.
Dino, how we doing?
Well, we're doing okay. How are you?
I'm all right. Get the coffee going, first sip. Good all one. Right.
I've got a... I've got a groggy producer here today.
Yeah, you know what? I've not had a lot of sleep this week, but the finish line's in sight.
That's the
good news.
I was going to say, Jay's admittedly a little groggy. I did not sleep very well. And I can usually tell by the tone of your update, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you'll be playful about the traffic or you kind of do something coming in. And other times it's just kind of straight laced. And then other times it's very serious. And today it felt just like, we're going to get through this thing.
Yeah. Plow ahead. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And I hear the light fumbling of a microphone, which means Retro, you're here as well.
Oh, nice.
Do some burpees.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'll wake you up. Get you going.
Garlic burpees. Yeah. Is that your that's the method? I just feel like that's what it would smell like.
Well, it probably does reek in here for sure.
As we sit here on a Thursday, does anyone have anything they want to share with the class? Anything? any stories? Anything going on?
Just another beautiful day in the lockdown, Dean.
Yeah.
Did you try the popcorn?
I did not. No. I was saying to Jay, we had some things. I had one kid going out to do something, so I had to give him a ride, and then, no, it was not a popcorn night. I gave, now, here's the story. I need to get Pinder his yet. Mm. I kind of touched on it in the 5:30, and this will be on the podcast, so I'll get into it now. Jay wasn't here on Tuesday. I kind of forgot about that. Because Tuesday was National Popcorn Day, and we talked about it, and Rhett made me feel like a third worlder for occasionally having a bag of microwave popcorn. Because the night before my kid was making popcorn, I said, yeah, make me a bag, please. So he brought up a bag of microwave popcorn. I watched the third period of the hockey game and had some microwave popcorn.
I was also making fun of you for that too.
That's something to really ridicule somebody about on this show.
I think we'll get you on the straight and narrow a couple days away here. He'll be singing from the hymn book.
So we were just talking about popcorn and what's good popcorn and that, and Warner had said, now I'll let you just kind of reestablish what you were talking about. You have a specific kind that comes from a specific place, from a specific person.
White Hullis popcorn from Early's Farm and Garden in Saskatoon. My dad has made more popcorn than, I'm sure there's someone out there that's done more, but I don't know how. Every night, my father will eat... it's a bowl, but it's...
Is that right?
It's a big bowl.
He just loves it.
It's a mixing bowl. Like, it's not a...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, we're talking a significant amount. Oh, yeah.
Place into a medium to large size bowl and mix together the sauce and... that says bowl, huh?
Huge.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I said that I would use Orville Rock Redenbacher popcorn, and you really kind of gave it to me about that as well.
Flew off the handle. Really not if he's just Orville.
Listen, I'm not going to... You can Orville will get you by. Orville will get you by, but this stuff is the legit stuff. You're not.
So
you should feel a little second rate. I mean.
So your dad gets this from a specific place, right?
Yeah.
And what is it?
White Hullis.
So it is called Little Wonder Popcorn White, and we called Doug, your dad, on Monday, got him on the show, and he told us about going to Early's Farm and Garden in Saskatoon, where he would buy a 12.5-pound bag of popcorn.
That's a bunch.
It's a hefty amount of popcorn.
I'd say that's about 11.5 pounds more than a normal human ever purchases.
Roughly, yeah. I think your math, that jives, I think.
Okay.
So we're going to have to order some. We'll get, if next time we know somebody coming from Saskatoon, we'll get some of this white hullless popcorn that sounds like it's so great. Yesterday, end of the show, box shows up via Purolator from Early's Farm and Garden Center, 2615 Lorne Avenue, Saskatoon. Well, what could it be? We open the box here in studio, and in there is a 12.5-pound bag of popcorn and some T-shirts and one of their catalogs and a 2021 calendar and a note from Kevin.
Blosky.
Kevin Blosky.
Kevin?
Blosky, sorry.
Blosky.
And here's the letter. Hey, Boomer, we thought we got hacked. A dozen orders for white popcorn in 10 minutes. We did some digging and found your broadcast. Thanks to you and Rhett for the plug. Turns out Rhett played hockey for my father's team, the Saskatoon Blazers Midget AAA team. My father, Joe Blosky, was also the manager here at Early's for almost 50 years. We are sending you a sample of the popcorn so you can judge for yourself. Kevin Blosky, Early's in Saskatoon. So very nice, right? I mean, that's... You know
classic.
What that is?
Plus,
you know what that is? Yeah. That is? That's Sasky right there. That's good prairie people. Taking care of people and doing nice things.
Joe wanted to boot me off that hockey team.
I bet he did. You probably thought you were great, eh?
I was good.
Because you'd have probably been a pretty good midget triple A player.
Well, I made the team as 14-year-olds.
Settle down. You made midget triple A at 14?
Yeah.
See how long these arms are, boys. You're entering a new universe here. Ride these coattails to the show.
I didn't even know I was so young and stupid.
Really?
I didn't know we had curfew. And we went to a movie, right. Me and some fellas.
Right.
And yeah. The billets
what
for the
curfew?
Other guys.
And Joe wasn't a fan?
No. Joe and Dave Sharche and... The other coach flipped their lid.
Man, Dave Sharche.
This was during the playoffs, too. And we were good. We were winning. We won the league. Then we got trounced in the whatever. Regionals, I guess it would be.
Dave Sharche was a great player. Did you ever watch him, Rhett?
I know I saw him play, but I don't remember.
Yeah. Because when I was... He was playing... Like men's league, like I don't know what you would have called it.
Oh yeah,
provincial senior hockey. Good night, great player. Anyway, so what I got to doing? I took the box home yesterday, and I started to cut up the bag. So Jay's got kind of like a dealer. I got the had the credit card out and the zippy bags and the twist ties. So Jay's got his, and Rhett's got his, and Pinder all work to get you yours.
Now, Jay was on vacation Tuesday. Are we comfy giving a quarter of the bounty to Jay? I do like Jay, but, vacation.
Jesus, kidding, Jay. He's having a bad day, and now you're piling on him?
Yeah,
I was going to say. Jay, you can have mine.
I got popcorn over here.
I got lots.
We'll bring yours back to my house. Give yours to Pinder, then.
I could.
Yeah. So we're probably going to have to pick a day. It's kind of like a movie club where we all sit down and have the popcorn. And we want to do it next week? When do the Flames play? Next Flames game.
They
play
will
Sunday.
Play Sunday, Tuesday.
So
Sunday's the afternoon and there's football. Like, that's a lot. Busy.
Yeah.
Tuesday seems like the move.
Okay. But thanks to Early's and Kevin.
Kev.
What also makes me howl... is our listeners who we have the best listeners out there. They get a kick out of the dumb stuff that we do, like talk about popcorn for an entire segment, and rather than be agitated and complain to our boss about it, they go with it and then go online and order bags and bags of popcorn. We thought we got hacked. A dozen orders in 10 minutes for white popcorn. You would think, what is going on? Out of nowhere, we have one old guy in Saskatoon, some weird guy that must eat popcorn like every single day and come in. He's the only guy that comes in and buys 12-pound bags of popcorn. Now we've sold 12 bags in 10 minutes. So it would seem like something was a little fishy. But I am excited to try this.
I want to know if anyone's had it. If you're a listener and you've tried it, I want to hear.
All right. You can get on the 960-960 SML Entertainment, making family time more exciting with pool tables, pinball, ping pong, beachcomber, and Caldera hot tubs, and more. Visit smlentertainment.com. And it's a, I'm prepared to do it for the show if it means sitting down and having popcorn. Now, and I'll say this, I have been misrepresented. And I don't really care. People can think what they want. I don't care. But here's what it is. If it's movie and we're making popcorn to watch a movie or whatever, we're not making microwave popcorn. Like, that's not what's happening. The air popper's coming out. The popcorn machine is coming out. We make a blend. We have real butter. We do it the right way. It was this one night where the kid wanted a snack and he threw in a bag and I'm like, just make me. He was not going to get the air popper and make it. And I was not going to go and do it myself. It was third period of the hockey game. I'm not going to start making popcorn. It was delivered to me by my son. I stand by it.
Let's set your son up for success in life, okay?
That's a good point. Yeah, maybe
shortcuts.
A little late for Dean, but the young man, we could turn in the right direction here.
Just shortcuts everywhere, Harrison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Feel free to take shortcuts, you know?
This is where Pinder would jump in and criticize you and your parenting techniques, but I wouldn't do it. I mean, I would not be the guy who would bring that up right now.
There's another shot.
No chance.
Not sure what that's all about.
Way to go, Pinder. Pinder, why do you have to do that? Like, why do you go there? Speaking of which, saw Rhett yesterday for the first time in a long time.
Handoff?
We had a handoff, yeah.
Yeah.
I look fat?
I don't really look at you that way. I see past it all. You don't. You aren't fat or skinny ever to me, Rhett.
Okay,
that's where our relationship is. Was it a trial run?
He looked fat.
It was the inaugural babysitters club. Yeah.
Inauguration,
right? It was a big inauguration day yesterday. Yeah, that's right.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Getting people up to speed. Rhett leaves in October for a few weeks, comes back 3.5 months later from holiday, leaves his dog at my house for me to dog sit, and yesterday was the first time since early October that the dog went back to your house. How did it go?
It was good. Boys were pumped up, excited.
Pinder, I said to Jay in the five, you cannot believe these kids. Okay, so Rhett comes over, I don't know, 3-4 in the afternoon. I'll get the dog. I've got the bag of food. He scoops up the dog. I didn't know if his kids were in the car or not. The kids, he's got three boys. Ages what, Rhett?
12, 9, and 7.
These three kids are in the car. Their faces pressed against the glass. They could have seen Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny at the same time. Wouldn't hold a candle. They were, I don't know if they were crying. They were screaming, pressed up against the glass.
Louis!
The window gets rolling. Louie! Oh my God, Louie! Oh, Louie! These kids were out of their minds for this dog. Am I exaggerating?
Not really.
Not really. They are absolutely, I'm telling you, man, they were freaking out to see their dog. And the dog was freaking out as well. Now, in fairness, the dog, he's young. He's going to freak out regardless. So people are making a big fuss. He's, what's going on? What's happening here? What's the deal?
He's wagging so hard, the whole thing's shaking.
Yeah, his tail, he doesn't have much of a tail. It's just a little nub. So the whole body, is from the hips down, all kind of goes. So he was pumped. The kids were pumped. Rhett, not so much. But they got into the car and they left.
Happy for the boys. I was happy for the boys.
I guess you were. You couldn't. Have you ever made the boys that happy?
Oh, on a daily basis.
Bull. Whoops. Whoa.
Shirt.
Caught myself. They were so ecstatic. So you got home and what happened? Like, walk me through the experience.
Okay. So, well, here's the thing, the spoiled brats, right? So they are excited. I will not deny that. They're pumped up. An hour later, two of them are outside playing and the other one's sitting on the couch petting the dog.
Right.
Like, so... Yeah, they love the dog, and it's great, and they're all excited, but it didn't go on forever. Now, the oldest one was PO'd that he wasn't sleeping over.
Yeah. But
I had to set the standard, Ryan.
I'm really, really confused why you've taken this tact on the dog. It's a little curious. Got to be honest.
I think everybody's happy.
Well, no, you're happy. Everyone else seems to be not happy. That's the read I'm getting.
Well, I do have a bit of an update. Not everyone's happy.
Oh, dear.
Why?
Well, Louis came back to our house last night, and I said to Jay, I'm not sure, did you feed him meth? Because he was a wild animal the entire night and howled the entire night through the night. Hoo, hoo, hoo. We had to move his kennel. Hoo,
really?
Hoo. He was completely out of sorts. I don't know. He's obviously shocked, confused, worked up. I don't know.
He wants to go back to his family that's abandoned him.
I don't know what it is.
I think it's pretty obvious.
But I'll say this. I'm not sure if the shared custody is going to work, if this is what it's going to be. You may have a dog on your hands again.
Which I think the boys would love.
I think the deal's been cut. I don't know.
There was never any agreement.
Paperwork was signed. No,
there's never been any paperwork. I think now, very quickly, and again, it's maybe because I didn't sleep much. I think probably best if you took your dog home.
Sheesh. I didn't feed him meth, but isn't that something?
I'll read you, and again, this is usually not for air, but I'll read you my wife's texts from this morning. How did the Louis return go? He's crying right now. Did he cry all night? Oh my gosh, I let him out. He's crazy. Oh my gosh, he's nuts. Oh my gosh. These are all separate texts. What happened over the night? Oh my gosh, this dog. Were you up with him in the night? He is nuts right now. He ate and drank. Maybe this isn't going to work. I've never seen him like this before.
Oh, man.
So that's the updates that I've gotten in the last 60 to 90 minutes from my house.
That's, well, I don't know much about dogs. So. Well, I'd love to help out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Any dog experts out there?
Yeah.
Jay?
Well, and again, I think they're
experts. Huh?
It was, you know what it reminds me of? The very first night you brought him over after he'd lived with you for whatever it was, the 3 months, and then he came to our house and he was very out of sorts.
Yeah.
And there was a new dog. He had to kind of get used to that because we have a golden retriever, so he had to get used to that. But I thought that he would settle in. He did not.
Yeah, that's... So, yeah. I wouldn't. I don't know what to comment on.
So was he crazy? Was he crazy at your house for a while?
No. He didn't really seem very like typically the kids are going to bed and stuff. He'll cuddle up and just kind of sit there. But he was wandering, and I thought he was looking for your dog. He's like, "Hey, where's my buddy? What's going on here?"
I'm sure there's no confusion at all in the dog's mind. Knows exactly what's going on. All makes sense. And no concern about where he's going to be in the future.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
just whistling Dixie all day. No sweat.
So there you you have the update. We're probably more confused than we were previously.
I was going to say, I've been kind of prying for a week for an update, and now I feel bad for prying because that's Rhett's ruining this dog and his children's lives. So, yeah.
Well, get used to it, boys.
6:20.
That's what you get to do when you're the dad.
So you get to ruin other people's lives.
So Pinder, here's what it is, right? So I go, I take the food outside. The kids are in the car. They're freaking out. I'm like, oh, he's so, has he grown? Said, yeah, he's way bigger. Louie, yeah, okay. How you guys doing? Oh, good. We're great. Yeah. So the window goes up. I look at Red. He's like, no, I'll text you later. Like just from max excitement to zero on the meter. Like no, the VU meter's not moving. Nothing.
Yeah.
What was that show the other day I watched? The Undoing or something? Not a lot of empathy?
No. No, you're
inability
heartless.
Ability to show empathy?
That's right.
I want to talk about this Tiger doc. I finished it last night. Oh, my God.
Well, you can't talk about it. We haven't seen it.
Stop.
I'm not going to spoiler alert. I'm not going to go full Dean here and tell you who killed who. But if you're not into this, you got to. You got to get into it.
Now that you bring that up, I still haven't finished the Jordan one.
How did that not like grab you, and did you not finish that?
You were on the road for 3 months.
I started watching it before we left, and then we got busy, and I forgot.
You got some work to do. Get going here.
Yeah, got to get after it.
Yellowstone, Tiger, Jordan. I got a lot to get to.
You got a lot to get to, yeah. You got a lot. Show today, we got Brian Burke. Excuse me, as we'll get into something, I suppose, with Brian. Not good news with the Washington Capitals, as it turns out.
Weird things happening in the Capitol?
Yeah.
You don't say.
For the third week in a row. Some unsettling news coming out of Washington.
Oh, no.
A handful of games in the NHL. We'll get to all of it as the show moves along this morning as well. We'll do some football picks. Whether or not we're obligated to make them, we'll make them. And then Jason Lacken for our NFL Insider just after 8. It's coming up. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning is on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Everyday Steinberg inside the NHL. A presentation of Calgary Co-op. New product families, member rewards, and sale events. You'll find more quality, more savings in every department every day at Calgary Co-op. 629. Welcome back. It is Boomer along with Rhett Warner and Ryan Pinder. Berkey at 7:25, so we're about an hour away right now from hearing from Brian Burke. The NHL yesterday with the report coming out of Washington, and it's on me because I've just become it's starting to fall on deaf ears, frankly, for me in terms of COVID stuff. It's like, oh, they've got this many, and he's been put on the list, and he's been taken off the list, and all of that. The Washington Capitals yesterday fined $100,000 for violating COVID protocols. And so the NHL releases its thing. It says
a daily report, right?
Daily report. Well, this was the specific one about Washington.
Okay.
It has fined the Washington Capitals $100,000 for player violations of the league's COVID-19 protocols, which involved social interactions among team members who were in close contact and who were not wearing face coverings. So some teammates got together, no masks, $100,000. We then find out that it is some of the big names on the Washington Capitals who have now been put on the COVID list. In there included Evgeny Kuznetsov and Alex Ovechkin. Ovechkin then comes out with his response, basically saying, I take full responsibility. We are in one of the hotel rooms together in close proximity. I've learned my lesson kind of thing. I'm obviously paraphrasing.
Samsonov and Orlov, the other players as well, which completes the picture.
It's not insignificant, right? It's not
top
just...
4D man, number one goalie, and top winger, top center.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Other than that, nothing to see here. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you make of the Ovi response? Was it tongue in cheek, basically saying sorry for getting together with my teammates, or do you think it was sincere, saying I screwed up?
I have no idea. I mean, the response made sense. It felt authentic, but I mean, it could have been written by some lackey based out of St. Petersburg, and we wouldn't know any difference, mm-hmm. really, would we? I think what the comment tried to illustrate was a little bit of remorse and that they're going to be better in the future and that, yeah, okay, we do have to take this seriously. And I think to clarify, I don't think the NHL thinks these guys have COVID, but because of their activities, they're going to have to probably produce a negative test before they can resume normal stuff with the team, I would think.
How's this get out? Like, what was the... If they're in a hotel room, huh?
Oh, how did they get found out? That's probably... Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know.
Here's the statement from the Capitals, and then I don't want to bog down too much in this. Our training staff has worked extremely hard to create a safe environment for our players and staff to be able to complete the season. We are disappointed by our players' choice to interact in their hotel room and outside of team-approved areas. Alex Ovechkin, quote, I regret my choice to spend time together with my teammates in our hotel room and away from the locker room areas. I will learn from this experience.
Yeah, I don't know.
And you know what? I see both sides, right? If they're getting fined $100,000 and it feels like, well, we take all of these tests. We weren't at the bar. It's not like dude in the NBA who went to the stripper bar for steak dinner. We are in our hotel room. So I get both sides. It's got to be very frustrating. It's what you need to do for this season to get off, and we saw how the bubble works, but you're not in a bubble, so it means even more caution needs to be taken. But
yeah.
You'd be sick to death of it by now, like we all are.
Well, it's week 2 of the season.
Like we all are.
Last night was 8 days into the season, so Yeah, if it's annoying and cumbersome now, buckle up for another 51, 50, 52 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
53 if you're the Flames.
And meanwhile, we've also seen some postponements and delays, not to just single games, but to series.
Yes, which is ruining fantasy hockey. Everyone's very upset about this, Dean. That's why you said you're not really, it's just falling on deaf ears. I can tell you're not playing fantasy hockey this year because it's a nightmare. Anyway. Yeah, so it's going to be the Panthers not playing against Carolina, whose games have been canceled a week after they didn't play a two-game set against Dallas, whose games got canceled. Dallas had 17 cases. So they're going to hear. Someone had tweeted out the scoring race last night, and certain players tied with 6 points, and Dallas hasn't played a game yet. Oh, right. Yeah.
That's true, right? Yeah.
Yeah. They haven't played.
But that's how the baseball thing started, too, right?
St. Louis especially.
St. Louis hadn't played. Miami hadn't played.
Like St. Louis is at 5 games, and we had other teams like in the mid-teens. You're like, how is this going to work?
Yeah.
And the luxury baseball has that other sports don't have. You could play a doubleheader.
Yeah.
And they've shortened them up. They played 7-inning doubleheaders. I don't know that we're going to see a 45-minute couple games of 3-on-3 here. Like, there's a bigger challenge ramming.
Can you imagine, though, if they did? We're going to play a pair of 45-minuters, one at a 2 p.m. start, the other one's a 7 p.m. start.
I mean,
at this point, can you say that that's absolutely crazy and would not happen?
Like, no, it's far-fetched, right? But no, you couldn't rule it out.
Yeah.
Well, and last night we played 10 minutes of overtime and didn't get a single goal. Both those games went to shootout.
Yeah. Did you take a look in at the Oilers Leafs? I was saying yesterday that I was going to be watching this thing. I admit I put it on. It did not hold my attention. This did not.
It's a shame, man.
Did not live up. Yeah.
Oh, you think about the stage the game has here. You know, one of the silver linings of all this billions of dollars of lost revenue. People are sitting at home looking for things to watch, and for the first time in a billion years, you had an all Canadian matchup on NBC. And it looked like Rhett's 96 Panthers and someone else employing the trap with all these superstars. You're like, oh, man.
It wasn't.
That's an opportunity missed. Like, that was, oh, thanks, Dave Tippett. Boy, you sure are skilled. No one can really drag it into the mud like you, sir. And he got his win. Give him credit. That's exactly what the Oilers needed. A boring, low-scoring win, and they got one.
100%. 100 and I'm sorry, I was reading something else. Gave up a stinky goal, which might happen on a nightly basis, but it didn't burn them on this occasion. I don't know, the Leafs way out of sorts, right? Rhett, you did you watch some? Because you were saying
I watched. It was on the first, a little bit of the first, and most of the second. It was on while I was kind of cooking and stuff, so I didn't pay a bunch of attention, but saw bits and pieces. Kind of sat down and watched the third and was thoroughly unimpressed.
Yeah.
And I think there was nothing to sink your teeth into. The bad goal, I'm like, oh, maybe there'll be something. The bad goaltending story can continue for Edmonton, but then they go on and win, and it's just like, well, this is
maybe the worst Canadian game, like North Division game this year.
I would.
That's
agree.
The one that
I bet you're right.
Stage.
Yeah, I bet you're right. Now, I've not watched all of them, but even the Ottawa games, Ottawa's come out of games, been like, these young
they're
guys are working their tails off. Yeah, it was. Because the first goal goes off of two Leafs and in. It wasn't even off an Oilers stick. Vesey put it off of Muzzin into his own net. The Matthews goal was a stinker. And then, I mean, for the Oilers, their first power play goal in 15 tries. Dreisaitl gets on. That's the thing. A two-game losing skid, three would have felt like 5 or 6 for the Oilers. So it's not just that they stop it. It's that now they're building some positivity. Dreisaitl gets a goal. The power play comes through. They do get a win despite letting in a bad goal. And I don't know that anybody had them picked to win last night with based how Toronto's looked.
Isn't it sad, though, that like the recipe they've gone to with two of the best 5 players in the sport in Edmonton, out of necessity, to be fair, is like, yeah, we're going to grind you down and send one man in deep and focus on defense. Like, oh, no.
Yeah. So now, in fairness, while that one was a bit of a stinker, this Vancouver Habs game.
Oh, it was unbelievable. The one that should have been on center stage.
It was a pinball machine. It was unbelievable. I walked through it this morning. Horvat 1-0. Toffoli, who is now a Hab, ties it at 1. Tyler Mott, 2-1 Canucks. Toffoli makes it 2-2. Besser, 3-2 Vancouver. Gallagher, 3-3. Horvat, 4-3. Kotkaniemi, 4-4. Toffoli, his third, 5-4. Besser ties it with under 5 to play. They go to overtime, nothing. They go to a shootout. Canucks win a huge one. They had lost 3 in a row. They get the win 6-5. Like 11 goals. Preseason game? Maybe. But that was incredible to watch.
And that's what you don't want to leave your seat and you want to watch. That is the entertainment value that we expected to get out of Toronto-Edmonton, isn't it?
I felt like you were operating some other people's Twitter accounts last night as I was watching along, as Toffoli scores one, then two, then three, as people are doing their Jim Benning impressions. Jake Virtanen is better than Tyler Toffoli.
Jake's a pretty bright young mind in the game, and 3-on-3, we're going to talk to him about not dumping the puck in when he could just drop it back and keep possession and stuff.
I know that.
How in the world they end up with that contract and not the other? Like, oh.
Toffoli is making 4.25. Boy, that's not a bad number. If he's not, he's going to get three every night, but pretty good player. You got him for 4 years. He's 28. You've got his best years at 4.25. Hell of a signing.
You basically got like $25 million bucks sewn up in bottom half of the roster depth players in Vancouver, and after they lose in Calgary, the knives are out on Pettersson, and you're like, man, is it not crystal clear what the problem with Vancouver is? They blew all their dough on very mediocre replacement level players, and are in a cap pinch before they've paid Hughes and Pettersson, who were up at the end of the year.
Yeah,
this is a huge cap mismanagement issue that's been going on for a long time under Jimbo, and it's not getting better.
Well, they'll get out from under
cheap stars.
They will get out from under Sutter at 4-3. They get out from under Tanner Pearson at 3.75. One more year.
But hang on. What are Hughes and Pettersson going to make?
But you said it's not getting better. They will get some relief there,
but the relief won't be close to the raises they need to give to their two stars, their best players.
I know. I understand.
So it's getting worse. That's my point. If you can subtract 7, but you got to add $15 million, you're way behind.
Edler's 6 will come off. And that's the other thing from last night. Edler and Hamonic both leave the hockey game and did not return. No update. So if they're out for any amount of time, Quinn Hughes, your minutes are going up big time. And Nate Schmidt, your minutes are going up big time. And Tyler Myers, I don't know where you fit in, but gonna need you, man. Gonna need you in a big, big way here. So
not ideal.
But Holby's a great
game.
All
right. That's been good.
And we're talking about it. Yeah, Holby was good. Well, he did let in.
I just mean body work from the season so far. But played a huge ball in Edmonton, played ball here.
Wouldn't that have been good in Edmonton? Wouldn't Holby have been a better fit in Edmonton? I mean,
don't you think if a guy wanted to be in Edmonton, he was from Lloydminster, and they needed a goalie, he'd end up in Edmonton? Like, I think you're dead right. It would have been a great fit, but I don't know if there was any interest there.
Not sure. But the Canucks do win. And if ever you take a deep sigh after snapping a 3-game losing skid, it was that one for the Canucks. Had to have felt like a huge weight coming off their shoulders.
That was a group that needed to get home, right? They win game one, was it? And then just loss, and oof. The nature of the Monday loss this week where you had that dominant first and then get throttled. All right, let's get home. Let's get JT Miller back in. Let's get home.
I know that ordinarily it seems kind of silly to be overreacting to games this early in a season, but I don't know if we're going to look back and say that it was crazy. I think that these three-point games and wins, when you're playing direct, everyone in your division every single night, I don't know that we're, and a compressed schedule, I think we're right, a 3-game skid, yeah, that feels like a 6-gamer.
Yeah, like last night's win felt like a huge one for the Oilers.
Huge! For Vancouver and Edmonton, those are two huge wins in game 4 or 5 of their regular season.
We'll ask Elliot tomorrow, or at least it's on my docket, what's the new American Thanksgiving? That's always his stat, right?
Yeah, that's right.
If you're on the outside looking in on this date, you're 3/4 likely to miss, or so whatever it is. I mean, we don't know what that is, but it doesn't feel crazy to say, oh, geez, you know, Oilers got to get going here, and they did last night, and ditto for the Canucks.
We'll break here. The Pinder Report is coming up next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
So now, Pinder, the full 24-hour cycle has gone through. I'm sure you've done plenty of reading and soaking in. How do you feel about George Springer? All the opinions are in. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the Brantley thing was kind of wild yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's not often you get people with scoops that, the club's refuting this now. And, there he is, 2 years in Houston. Because that the Brantley deal was one where you really have to shuffle the deck. They can, survive with the four outfielders they have without making other moves. But when you bring a fifth outfielder in, okay, now someone's getting traded, right? So that was a little crazy, but it only lasted a couple hours. We'll get into it. It's in there.
Nice. But I was thinking about it as I saw all the George Springer. That's great. The Toronto Blue Jays, Canadian state of the game in Canada. All these feel-good stories. I just thought of you with your dumb IPA beer sitting somewhere, enjoying life, just soaking it all in.
I got flights booked. I don't know if it's
one of you. Yeah, is that right?
They've been booked
to Seattle to watch the Jays in the city. Yeah, okay, well,
yeah. Hopefully they get that transfer power and vaccination or vaccine rollout. Yeah,
I wouldn't worry about it by then, right? He'll be there. Yeah, wouldn't worry about it. 6:47. He's going to get into it. He says inside the Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city, and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Ryan Pinder.
Jay, just wanted to give you a little credit for that excellent read. You fumbled it a bit, but you know what? You got back up on your feet, dusted yourself off, and you gave it your best shot.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Lots to get to. Five games in the NHL last night. Two all-Canadian matchups. Raptors looking to extend their win streak to four. LFG! And, of course, waiting on some injury news on a Flames forward, which is where we start in the Pinder Report.
Took a licking and kept on ticking.
Yeah, that's right, Dylan Dubé. Not much clarity yesterday from Coach Ward.
What's the latest, or what can you tell us about Dylan Dubé?
Day-to-day. There's nothing there that we feel is serious.
Do you expect him to miss games, or do you think he might be an option this weekend?
Well, we got a long way to that game, so right now he's an option. But we'll see as the week progresses.
Boy, those are exciting Zoom calls, hey? Just scintillating.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you can't book yourself in on last minute to the dentist, you could always jump on those Zoom calls.
Can I get in there? Like, can we do this? Do we have access?
So do you think he'll be an option?
Might play, or,
do you expect him to...
it's a while away.
Think he'll play? Any games?
I think it's maybe okay to play.
Where's Jake Voracek when he spice these things up, huh? Huh?
Yeah, where is Jake?
I wasn't even going to answer your question because you are such a weasel, it's not even funny.
See, that's the Zoom call we need.
That's next question.
Huh? Next question. Lower body issue.
So it doesn't matter what you say.
That's what we need.
I feel like Marty was maybe even a little more open and specific with us yesterday on the Dubé injury.
Yeah.
LOL.
Yeah.
Still 3 days until their next game, Dean. Sunday afternoon against Toronto.
WTF. Flames fans.
Yeah, exactly. Flames fans hoping Dubé can BRB by then. Speaking of the Leafs, they were in action last night as we get to the rest of the NHL slate.
Down low, centering pass for Nugent Hopkins. Shot scores from the left wing side. Leon Draisaitl got a bit of a break as the shot went off a skate.
Yeah, well, he's owed a break. He's goalless to start the season. There's his first. And, hey, we'll see, Rhett.
Perfect for cold nights filled with warm conversation.
And warm conversation. We'll see. Huh?
Draisaitl? Let's see.
One goal. We'll see. TTYL. Joe Thornton out. He's going to miss some time. Oh, no. That's not good.
Oh, no.
Ribs.
Real rib tickler.
Ribs.
I wonder if he's in Drew Brees category. More on him in a moment. Whew. Punctured lung, 11 ribs. Eesh. Oilers win 3-1. Big one. Let's go to St. Louis. They needed a shootout between the Blues and Sharks.
Now Hurdle as we come to the end of round four here. And he scores! And the Sharks win in St. Louis.
I just love it, the way that play-by-play broadcasters can paint a picture. You're not there, and just with their words, you can see Hurdle coming in. One more
time.
Come
to the end of round four here.
Wow.
Yeah, you could just... Whoa.
Dude, let it breathe.
I got a lot to say here.
Yeah, you really got a sense for the move.
It is radio, right? Like, people can't see it.
No, it's theater of the mind, guys. Theater of the mind, the most powerful medium.
Come to the end of round four here.
Uh-huh. What is it we're paying you for?
Scores.
Scores. It didn't hit me until you... Is there any way they're simulcasting a TV feed?
I don't know that people on TV would be bothered because you said went to the forehand or coming in on the deke or winds up with a clapper. Like, give us something.
Come to the end of round four here.
Let it finish. Let it
what
finish.
What did you say? I'm you do here.
2-1. Sharks beat the Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Off we go to Orange County. The Wild have been on a big California swing to start the year, and I think Joel Eriksson-Ek likes that.
Kaprizov back to Greenway. Got it in front, and Eriksson-Ek rips it home.
Kirill Kaprizov just ruining our Tuesday night in Minnesota jokes that have been so good for so long. He's fun. Minnesota wins 3-2. We got a helper on that game-winning goal. Vancouver, the late one, what a wild one indeed. It looked like the Habs had a late winner in regulation, but no. Besser would tie the game with his second, and off we go to extra time.
Back. Dangling in, shoot scores.
See, dangling in.
Two goals in the game and a goal in the shootout. What a great game for the captain.
Yeah, what a great game, dangling in. At least we can try to imagine what the player did between the face-off dot and a goal, huh?
And he scores! And
Yeah, one's better than the other. Horvat, the shootout winner to go with, well, I call the shootout winners SOGWGs, right? Pair in regulation and helper as well. Toffoli, the first ever hat trick for a former Canuck in his first game back to the
Schwags.
Canucks. OMG. Arizona, they fall in Vegas 5-2.
Tuck, steaming down the wing, has a step, backhand! Score! Alex Tuck starts to the air, and the Golden Knights first on the power play.
1-2-3 for Tuck. Pick him up! And yes, the Capitals fined $100,000 for violating COVID protocols. Kuznetsov, Ovi, Samsonov, and Orlov all gathering in the same hotel room. I'm sure Don Cherry would have nothing to say about this at all and would not have even noticed anything those four players share in common. Mm. Tonight, 5 o'clock slate, Flyers and Bruins.
This team plays with a lot of heart.
Both teams play with heart because, you know, Philly's got the goalie. Devils and Islanders.
For the Devils! The
Jets.
Devils!
Yeah, we get it, buddy. The Jets and Senators, their second of a two-game set.
I'm in Ottawa. How are you doing?
Shooting for the Stanley Cup.
Love
no
it.
Less.
Yeah. Tampa, Columbus.
Ball's as big as the building.
7:30, Montreal and Vancouver again.
Back.
That's Josh Anderson, really impressed how quickly he's immersed himself in the language. Certainly frustrated about that shootout loss. 8 o'clock, Colorado against Los Angeles. That's on Sportsnet West. And Florida, Carolina, Rhett, PPD.
Not the day.
Good. I love the PPDs.
Yeah, there you go. Major League Baseball. Things in Jays land. Whew, a little crazy. Last 2 days, pretty emphatic 180. They've lost the offseason to sign everyone. It's wild swings, and it nearly got wilder. Many Jays fans weren't asking what was next after George Springer after that six-year, $150 million deal. But the bigger, more important question, how many hours of sustained excitement before you're supposed to see a doctor? I believe the answer is 4. And we nearly flooded the healthcare system as just hours after the George Springer deal yesterday morning, hours after our show, it appeared his BFF rat, Michael Brantley, was in agreement with the club on a 3-year deal. Luckily for all of us in a strained healthcare system, that was not the case. He returns to Houston, the 34-year-old getting $32 million over the next 2 years. Jay Happ, one-year deal with the Twins, $8 million. Jose Quintana, one-year, $8 million. He goes to the Angels, Happ to the Twins. And apparently, a lot of interest and attention focusing on the top remaining starter, Trevor Bauer, and reliever Brad Hand, both tied to the Jays, because are you really a free agent if you're not tied to the Jays, right? Like, how would you feel if you're a free agent and the Jays aren't in on you? I mean, geez, like...
Because we're in on everybody.
Maybe it's done. Maybe it's time to hang up the cleats here.
Have we? Hey, agent, have we heard from Shapiro or Atkins? Because I heard they're in on everybody.
I think Phil Rivers, when the Jays didn't call, knew it was time.
Yeah, they had to tell... So, listen, Mark, he's retired. Dadgummit.
Dadgummit coming up. Hang on. NFL news, we can tell you a little bit. Mahomes did take part in practice yesterday for the Chiefs, but still in the protocol. He's on track to play this weekend. That was what we expected yesterday morning at this time, so nothing huge there. And in the NFC Championship game, well, not a team that's there, but one that nearly was. If the Bucs felt like Drew Brees was off last weekend, there's all kinds of reasons why. His wife wrote an open letter to him on Instagram and stated this. He played the entire season with a torn rotator cuff. We all know about the 11 broken ribs and punctured lung he suffered that cost him time mid-season, and he had torn fascia in his foot. Oh, and speaking of old guys and maybe time to hang it up, Phil Rivers actually took Drew Brees' job in San Diego. I don't know how many non-Chargers fans remember that. He's retired. 17 seasons, the Chargers' all-time leader in wins, passing yards, touchdowns. He started 240 straight games and famously played with a torn ACL in the AFC Championship game against the Patriots, when if all Marlon McCree did was drop to a knee, they would have won, but instead tried to return a pick, and the Patriots got it back, and they won. Sit down, Marlon. Anyway, don't remember that game very well. Fifth in league history with 63,000 passing yards and 421 touchdowns. That's a lot. But all that and zero cuss words.
Dang it. Dang it. Golly. Shit. Crap.
But the only ball thrown tonight was the crap.
Dadgummit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't swear.
Does not curse.
Golly. Dadgummit.
Dadgummit. I mean, it's real.
That's who he is. It's amazing.
It feels like that would be like a Simpson
shoot,
character,
shoot.
Right? Like
yes.
some guy that doesn't swear, be out of a cartoon or something. No, that's Phil.
And it took too long for people to realize this. Everyone's like, this guy is just a total loser. Look at him yelling and yipping, and there's memes of his face on the sideline, and he's such a whiner. And it took us like 15 years into his 17-year career to realize, like, this guy's like the biggest Southern beauty of all time, and he can't swear and has 9 kids.
I was gonna say, and if there's a guy that has the right to just curse a blue streak, it'd be that guy when he's got 9 kids.
He's got 18 sets of ears he can't be influencing. That's why he doesn't swear, right?
For me, it'd be mixing in words that weren't swears or curse words. If you could just clean it up a little bit, that'd be great.
Phil saying crap in here feels edgy.
Dang it. Dang it. Golly. Shit. Crap.
What? But the only ball thrown tonight was the crap.
Dadgummit.
Like
it
crap,
is. That's a
crap feels
one.
Like a lot.
That's a four-letter word right there.
He's at a 10.
And I love the drawl on the golly.
Golly.
Is that Roscoe out of Dukes of Hazzard or something?
Dadgummit. Dang it. Dadgummit.
How is this guy not like a cult hero? Instead, every NFL fan hates this guy. Come on.
Yeah. Well,
he's gone now.
You were one of them when he was your quarterback.
Oh, we had some good times, but again, it's that AFC Championship game against the Patriots. That was your year.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Stupid Marlon McCree. Okay, NBA time. Let's go. Raptors winning streak's over, Rhett. 3 games, that's it. They lose to the Heat, I believe 111-102, if not. That sounds close. Van Vliet, 24 in the loss.
Not enough.
And the question remains, Rhett, are you off the wagon again?
I think so. It was a...
You were on for
it
one
was
game.
Very fickle yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was more to support the Jays than the whole Toronto the North thing.
That makes a lot of sense. They're now 5-9. They'll play the Heat again tomorrow. If they win, maybe you get back on?
They're not going to beat the Heat. The Heat's going to pump them, so don't worry about that.
Kyrie Irving returned to the Nets, but Brooklyn fell in double overtime to the Cavaliers in Cleveland. The enigmatic guard dropped 37 points. Durant had 38 and Harden added 21. The first time the three-headed monsters operated together on the floor. Wizards have their 6th straight game canceled due to COVID. That's not good. They were set to play the Bucks tomorrow. six in a row, wiped off the sked. And in that COVID news, in the last week, 502 NBA players, 11 have tested positive. They're announcing their testing results weekly, just as the NHL is as well. Finally, the PGA Tour, the American Express, is about to start this morning. Normally a pro-am, played on three courses in La Quinta, California. The cut would be after three rounds, but no, not this year. No amateurs, no pro-am, just two courses, cut after 36 holes, not 54. And yeah, to La Quinta, California, where two very famous things happened. My wife tells me The Bachelor was filmed there, and I remember you guys got hammered on tequila and sang old country and western songs together maybe 5 years ago.
Really?
I'm drunk right now.
Is that not the case?
I remember the drinking and the country music for sure, yeah.
Was it La Quinta? Was it not La Quinta?
No, that was Palm Springs.
Yeah, that's where La Quinta is, yeah.
Which is in La Quinta, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Mama tried.
Was it tequila though?
Casitas?
I didn't think it was tequila. I thought.
I don't know what. I thought it was a big bottle of the Sailor. I thought that was
Sailor
Jerry.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Sorry, I painted the wrong picture here.
That was That was an interesting night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what you need to know: Patrick Cantlay, your favorite, John Rahm is withdrawn, and there are five Canadians in the field: Adam Hadwin, Roger Sloan, Michael Gligich, and David Hearn, Nick Taylor. Taylor, 110-1. $1 down on him. Let's go, buddy. It's your Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
$1 down. Here we go. I love it.
Let's go, Nick.
Yeah, come on,
come
Nick.
Come on. I think Adam Hadwin carded his 59 here a few years ago, or 60, one of the two.
Not good for him. 7:02, we got Berkey coming up this hour. We'll do our football picks at about 7:45, and then our NFL insider, Jason Lacanfora, get us a little bit of an update prior to this weekend. Just two games, but they are doozies, as Warner cheering. No bigger Chad Henne fan in the world than Rhett Warner and Bills fans here today. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Guests of the show, join us on the hotline brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Takeout and delivery when you're tired of cooking. Call 403-248-3344. It's Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Thursday morning. Here in the iconic downtown studios, Boomer along with J-Boy, Ryan Pinder, Rhett Warner on the show today. As always, handful of games in the NHL last night. Flames are off until Sunday, little afternoon game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Not a lot was last hour. We had that scintillating exchange from the Flames press conference yesterday by way of Zoom. The reporter coach back and forth on Dylan Dubé.
What's West the Gilbert's latest or what can you tell us about Dylan Dubé?
Day to day. There's nothing there that we feel is serious.
Do you expect him to miss games or do you think he might be an option this weekend?
Well, we got a long way to that game. So right now he's an option, but we'll see as the week progresses.
Don't get too committed to one side or the other.
There it is. But good news, obviously. I think they were a little concerned that this was going to be something a little bit long-term. But a tweak more than anything else. Whether he misses games, it sounds like it'll be minimal, if so. So that is great for him. There's the twofold, right? The expansion here, obviously the depth. We're moving guys around. We've got depth of scoring. You would feel also for Dylan Dubé, who had a great camp, has had a great start to the season, has been elevated to the new top line, and would have to leave because of a kind of a wonky, silly injury. But hopefully he won't miss a whole lot of time. Sounded as well. Practice, back on practice ice, Dominic Simone skating with the Monahan-Gaudreau line. Someone's going to fit there, right? At some point, someone's going to grab a hold of that spot on the right side and own it, or is it going to be one of those things this year where it's by committee?
Well, if there's no Dubé, I think it's easier to cement some people in some spots here rather than rotate the four guys on the right.
Yeah, I've had lots of people texting and asking, and I think that Monahan-Gaudreau thing, I've said it all along, it's Iggy and Conroy. Why can't we get a winger for those guys? We need a winger. Nah, it's going to be ever-changing. You're not going to slot in three. It's not going to be a Naslin, Bertuzzi, and who was the other guy? Oh, my goodness.
The other guy.
Oh, Mo.
Poor Mo.
Oh, dear.
And I love you, Mo. But it's not. I see this being, for as long as Gaudreau and Monahan play together, I just think that hopefully they could find someone, but I feel like it's those two and whoever else.
It's kind of in the history of the line, too, if you think about it. Like, they played with Joe Colburn, Yuri Hudler, on and on it goes, and guys have had some good years of them, but it's not like the third guy is what makes it go. This is more of the Sedins with whoever, whether it's Yannick Hansen or Anson Carter or somebody else. Like, they had a decade of making some obscure winger really darn good for a while.
Burrows would have been the best there for a while, right?
Fit-wise, but yeah. But even still, Burrows was never going to be an offensive guy in his own right, and then on that line he popped. So it's like, yeah. I mean, Burrows very easily could have settled in on a line with Kessler that played more defense and faced other teams' top lines, but instead he was there. It worked well, but, I mean, you've got two really, really, really elite offensive players. It shouldn't be super hard to fit in. And to Rhett's point, I think the league's kind of moving towards duos more than trios up front. And the added value of a third star on a line isn't maybe as much as starting another duo on a different line and making yourself more matchup-proof.
Wow. Yeah, just getting that depth, too, because if you got everyone on the first line with the salary cap, the drop-off may be too much.
Totally.
Who was the best winger that played with the Conroy-Iginla pairing? Because you're right. Can we find a scoring right winger? Can we find a right winger? Can we find a right winger? And no
Results-wise, it was McCammon, but skill-wise, it can't be McCammon, right?
Is he the one? You know what? Remember when Kunitz made, the Olympic team or whatever because he meshed so well with Crosby? It wasn't because Kunitz was a superstar. It's just because they got along and they worked well together.
Yep.
It was kind of like McCammon with that group. Certainly not a Hall of Famer and not the best player skill-wise, but just, I guess, IQ-wise, seemed to be the best fit. Who else kind of cycled through there? It was a revolving door for what felt like years.
In Vancouver, you're saying?
No, Iginla and Conroy.
Sorry.
Yeah,
I went from Calgary to Vancouver to Pittsburgh, and I was wondering which team you were asking about.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, who else do you remember there? Did Simon play there a bit or no?
Well, that's just it. Everyone did.
Yeah.
People are texting. Tanguay was there for a while.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably Tangs was the most skilled. But the problem with that is they didn't do any winning.
I was going to say, if you need a tea time, he was the best guy there.
Yeah. The thing with Tanguay is who's going to go get it? Because Iggy didn't want to go get it. Who was it that told us that story? If you dump it in again, well, I guess it was Conroy. He's like, don't dump the puck in. We don't dump and chase. We carry the puck in. If you dump it in, you better go get it because I'm not going to get it. And Tanguay wasn't going to get it either. Was it Lanco for a while?
Lanks is...
He's a center.
Lanks was with Iggy when Connie went to L.A.
There you go. That makes more sense. They never really got another dynamic player there. And I think that's probably a great comp for Gaudreau and Monahan because there's been some, aside from Lindholm, it's been guys that have been boosted by the line, not guys that necessarily have helped the line. Go get the puck, dig it out, let Johnny distribute.
Anyway, so the start of your question was, is it going to be a continual changes? And I wouldn't be surprised at all. If somebody new is on that line, especially with the guys that are going on there, right? Like, maybe they're taking a while to find their footing, but Laiho doesn't look like he needs to be inserted on that side with Johnny and Monty.
It's almost a function of the other two lines, too. Like, Dubé feels like that's a fit, right? We'd agree on that with Lindholm and Tkachuk? So if that one's locked in... Now you ask yourself, okay, where is Sam Bennett? Do you like what he's done with Mangiapane and Backlund? And if the answer is yes and you leave him there, well, now all of a sudden, really, you're only down to two guys in Laiho and Simone because I don't think Nordstrom fits their skill set at all, and he's probably your 13th forward, never mind playing in your top nine. So, I mean, what other options are there? It's two guys. They're probably ping pong around or see who sticks there. I think Label's got a little more upside.
Do you like Bennett on that?
I don't know. I mean, it's only been a few games.
Couple.
It doesn't necessarily profile to what he's best at in terms of like always being out against the other team's best players, but he's had his best season playing on Backlund's wing. So I also feel like that could help too.
I was thinking about that when we were talking to Jelly yesterday. We kind of ran out of time. I'm intrigued by what Andrew Mangiapane is, just as the guy, because he's not an agitator in the Tkachuk sense, or the guy's going to draw a bunch of penalties or be face-washing guys. But there's a bit of rat to him. You know what I mean? Like, he's...
He's got some stink.
Got some stink to him, and I don't know how. I don't really know how to describe it, because usually when you think rat, you think, well, he's sticking guys or he's dirty. But like Ken Linsman back in the
down is more of it.
He's the dog in the fight all the time. I remember when year one or when he started, he's going to have to stay away from those hits. He can't be taking big hits. That's just how he plays. He's just naturally in that fight. I'm just curious about the guy. What makes him tick? What's his personality like? Because I don't know that I don't see him yipping. I don't see him trash talking. But I just think his natural instincts as a player when he's out on the ice is just to engage wherever and whenever he can. And the fact that he's had so much success 5-on-5, I just don't. I wonder what when his career is said and done, what this is going to look like for him. We love Dubé, love the way that he's trending, but Mangiapane, there's that extra element to his game that I don't know. I can't help but love watching him play.
It's a chip on the shoulder for me. I don't believe he was drafted in the OHL, and he was a sixth rounder, and everywhere he goes, all he does is put up silly points. And even when he was doing it in Stockton, it's like, oh, well, hang on now. The NHL, it's not going to happen there. And when you're in the fourth line, and up, boom, he's into a top – 9 roll, top 6 roll, depending how you view the lines. Like, I think it's a guy who's been told he can't do things, and he says, screw it. Like, just because I'm small doesn't mean I can't go to the high traffic areas. I'm absolutely going there. And that's he goes to the hardest areas on the ice. He doesn't seem to care what the back of his hockey card says for height and weight.
And we've talked a lot about Bennett, how as a coach, you want to be able to trust the player, and Sam kind of he'll harm that trust every once in a while. Do you ever worry if you're Jeff Ward about throwing Mangiapane over the boards? I don't think you ever do. In any situation, I think he's going on the ice, and you can rely on him more or less to get it done.
Totally. That's a line you got to trust. That's the line that has the hardest work to do, in a sense.
Which
right?
is why I wonder about Bennett on that side. It feels like you're just kind of finding that happy medium where, well, Bennett can't be any good on the fourth line. He needs more, but he's not a top six guy, so I guess he just defaults in there.
Or swap him with Levo.
Yeah, right?
Because I think what we talked about earlier is that this is probably about duos anyway, so I wouldn't be surprised if Bennett got a spin with Monahan-Gaudreau and you saw Levo on the checking line. Like, just as Rhett said, rotate them through, see what works. Guys cool off, swap them out.
Fan feedback line, text coming in. This falls into the I can't do the show and listen to it for you. Let's not get carried away about 13 and 23. They were dreadful 5-on-5 versus the Jets. Ward has been able to control the matchups at home. They've been better, but let's not compare them to a Ginla. Not comparing them to a Ginla. Comparing the situation where you have a center and a winger who have played together a ton, a la Iginla and Conroy. They have stuck together, joined at the hip, but it's the third person on that trio that changes. I was not saying that 13 or 23 are Iginla. What I'm saying is their line has rotating guys on the right side, much like the Iginla-Conroy line did for years. That's
the fire.
No, you don't need to fire the phone. You just need to listen. Just listen. That's all.
Yeah, you got to hear it all.
Just take it all in. That's it.
Bits and pieces. You get confused. That's how stories get started.
Yeah, that's how it starts. No, people text. You don't need to fire your phone. It's 2021. We're going to be a kinder, gentler show. kinder and gentler in this these inclusive. Trying times. Yeah.
Yeah, until someone cracks gravy and then you're gonna be full block party.
Oh, if anybody cracks gravy, I'm come on.
Grow up.
No. Bennett doesn't have the IQ to play with 13 and 23.
That's not a very nice text.
Don't know that he's wrong. I think he's talking the hockey IQ. I would tend to agree. I don't think he thinks it high enough to play with those guys.
Or you just have to tell him to simplify things a lot. Stop trying to make plays and just get the puck to a line mate.
Brian Burke, when we come back, what are we going to talk to Brian about today? What's going to get him engaged today?
Well, I mean, I think the Washington stuff will be interesting in terms of what the league's had to deal with. He would see that from the GM and team perspective, but also the league perspective on following rules. And I don't know. I'm curious to see what he thinks about three-point games, given all the every game's a divisional game.
Mm.
Not to mention, I guess, when you have a game as hyped up as last night's was and it falls flat, it feels like a lost opportunity for the league.
We will break. Brian Burke, when we come back, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning is on now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Every day, Steinberg with the Sports Drive at 5, courtesy of South Trail Hyundai. The New Year, New Ride event, no payments, up to 0% financing through spring, and cash back to cover up those holiday bills. Check out South Trail Hyundai, Calgary's number one Google-related dealer. Find us on Instagram and Facebook. 727, Brian Burke joins us as always on our Thursday. Brian, good to have you. It didn't really hit me till we were looking this morning. I remember when the season was coming, we were debating, or there was the talk, the teams that didn't make the bubble for the playoffs, those teams that were on the outside, were they going to get an extended training camp, a little extra time, because it had been so long since they played? Now, Dallas wasn't one of them. Obviously, they played quite a bit within the bubble, but we sit here and talk about four games and three games, and are we overreacting? Man, the Dallas Stars haven't played a game yet. What possible... There's no way this is a positive for the Dallas Stars. They're going to come in and play their first game against whoever it is that is going to be hitting... They're going to need to hit the ground running here. How unfair or how tough is this going to be for the Stars?
Well, I think it puts them at a disadvantage, and it really compromises their schedule later in the year. When the league built in days off to accommodate COVID-19... related cancellations, but the compression it's going to put into an already compressed schedule is going to be difficult. So I think it penalizes them twice. They're behind the ball to start, and they're going to have a compressed schedule that's difficult later. And I can envision, and the league hasn't talked about this, so this is just my theory, I can envision teams playing fewer than 56 games.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking this morning, with everything being what it is, almost nothing can be tossed out as being nonsense. In baseball, they play doubleheaders. Is there any way, when it's pressed at the end of the year, to play a pair of 45-minute games, one in the afternoon and one at night, and play doubleheaders in hockey?
I doubt it, but I think if that it got to that point, I believe they would drop games. They would just say, well, this team's going to play 52 games, and we'll go on winning percentage.
Do you think it would be a case where you talk about them potentially not all the teams getting all their games in? If it's a team that's out of the playoff mix and there's two games left, okay, we'll just gun those games?
I wouldn't rule out anything. I think if you get to the end, let's say there's another cancellation for Dallas in February and they lose another 5 days. I can't see them forcing them to play every day for 5 days. I just can't see that. I think they'd say, well, have to drop some games. And I think the league has to react here, and I think they've done a marvelous job to this point. I think they have to react to whatever the science dictates.
And we saw that yesterday, a $100,000 fine to the Washington Capitals, Ovechkin coming out and apologizing for his actions. Now we'll see if there's any positive or negative tests, but for players sitting in a hotel room visiting, $100,000, they are taking it serious, no question about it.
Well, the option was to fine the four players, and the maximum fine's $10,000. And I think the league felt it was more important to make a statement and put a larger fine in place. And $100,000 may not sound like a lot of money, but in this year, it is a lot of money. And I think it's also a statement that Elliot Friedman was just on the radio here, and he was saying he believes it's a statement to the local health authorities all across the league that the league is taking it seriously. These were four players that gathered in one player's room and had a couple of beers, is what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
And even for that insignificant an infraction, the league came down really hard. So, and I say insignificant because to us it would all appear insignificant, but with the COVID protocols, nothing's insignificant.
It's almost weird. Like, we talked about the bubble as being so restrictive, but at least you could have a beer with your buddy because you were, you know, kept away from society. And then, oh, they're going to play without the bubble. They're going to be so much more free. Well, you can't even go to your line mate's room, even though you're sitting next to him in your dressing room and you're skating with him all day.
Yeah, it makes sense, though. And the protocols, again, the right to play, the return to play, was all negotiated with the appropriate health authorities. And so the rules have to be strict, and they have to be clear, and they have to be followed. So there is logic to it that, okay, you can sit next to this guy on the bench where we're in a sanitized environment and there's testing and all that, and then back in your hotel, yeah, stay in your room. So there is some logic to it. It seems overly restrictive, but it's not.
Last
all
night...
Right, enough COVID talk. Right. We were talking earlier about Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan and how they've had different wingers, well, almost on a yearly basis. I compared it to a bit of a Ginla Conroy kind of thing. Can you get in today's world or in the past? I don't think time matters, but is a duo as good as a – do you need three guys? I mean, you had Morrison and Naslund and Bertuzzi there. I mean, they dominated – do you need three, though, or can two carry the load and you can swap guys out?
Well, for as long as I've been in the game, the coaches have focused on duos. They've focused on pairs. And then if they find the third one, like the West Coast Express line, that was a magical line. That was just Morrison, Naslund, Bertuzzi. They just clicked. And then it was a perpetual revolving door to find the proper right winger to play with the Twins. And so it was Trent Clatt, and then it was Anson Carter, and then it was, so I think you want duos, and then you figure out who clicks with them. If you get a trio that works long term, great. So but I think even going back to my first year in 1987, I remember Bob McCammon was our coach, and he would talk about, I need two that work together. The third guy can shuffle in and out. We can try different people there, but I need two.
Brian Burke, our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The game last night, marquee matchup, Leafs and Oilers. Why? What was it lacking? Because it didn't really have the same excitement that we would have expected.
Well, I think Edmonton decided that they had to lock down a little bit, and so it wasn't a very enticing game. I agree with that, and we did the game. So we got rewarded with the late game. The late game was fantastic. But the first game didn't live up to its billing because I think Edmonton decided to lock it down. But there were still some good moments in the game. The third period, there were some real good moments. But basically, yeah, it did not live up to its billing. And it's I think Edmonton's trying to find some answers, and they found them last night.
Do you see that as an issue that this Gary Bettman's battled with in his decades running this league, that there is still that issue that when a team really needs to bear down and play an ugly game, that maybe it lacks some entertainment sizzle? Like, this was a game that was two Canadian clubs on national U.S. television. That's incredibly rare. That's like Halley's Comet. And it really wasn't enticing despite having superstars. And it feels like that's a lost opportunity.
Well, it happens. I mean, that's – you ask the Edmonton Oilers if they enjoyed last night's game, they're going to tell you universally, you're darn right we did. Because they were looking for some defensive answers, and they came up with them last night. And their penalty kill, the Leafs' penalty kill, was really good. The one power play goal that Edmonton scored was a broken play and squirted out to Dreisaitl. But there's a lot. I said this after the game. If you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, you don't say burn that film like you do after a terrible loss. They did a lot of good things, and Edmonton did a lot of good things, just not pretty things. And you're going to get games like that.
Yeah,
and especially where teams are tired. I think that was 5 games and 8 nights for both teams.
And then the backdrop, the reason I ask, is they're going to be negotiating a new U.S. TV deal this offseason, and if you had a barn burner there, man, I mean, the ratings have been pretty strong because I think everyone's looking for things to do at night, but that could have been a behemoth to say, look, we had two Canadian teams and look at these numbers, but that one wouldn't have been holding viewers.
No, I would. I think, again, I think people in Alberta would tell you that was a piece of art. A work of art.
Yeah, a certain part of Alberta for sure.
Yeah, I just mean the context of the U.S. deal. It feels like
yeah, I know.
That could have been good.
That late game, and I got to admit, I saw a good chunk of it, but back and forth, I don't know if it's a situation of sloppy, bad hockey making things exciting, but 11 goals and lead changes, Besser and Horvat leading the way. You picked Montreal to win that division. I love they play again tonight. I guess just thoughts on, is it still preseason like hockey? Because 11 goals is not the norm. What'd you see out of that matchup?
Well, you're dealing with a compressed schedule after a 6-day training camp and no preseason games. So we all said in advance, expect some sloppy hockey, expect some running gun games, expect some high goal totals, and expect some animosity as these teams continue to play each other. The animosity hasn't surfaced yet. To the extent that it's going to after there's more familiarity, but first time through, it looks like early season hockey, like it would any other time. And this is just proof to me. We fight with the players every time we do a CBA. They want a shorter and shorter training camp. I think this is established to everyone's satisfaction that you need at least 2 weeks of training camp and you need at least a few preseason games. So I respect what the players are doing. Without the proper preparation, they're playing hard. The games have been, the players are working their tails off. And the competition, like even last night, it was a hard competition game. There's low event game offensively, but lots of hitting and lots of good defensive plays, lots of block shots. So, again, not a work of art, but an intense game. And I think the players are delivering on their part as best they can without having the proper preparation. So this is what I expected would happen would be see some ugly hockey or at least some sloppy games, some high scores. I think that's to be expected. And you see a team, you know, last night, Vancouver allowed 5 goals and got a win, you know, and the number of 3-point games is staggering to me already.
Mm-hmm.
The number of, if you get behind now, it's easier to catch up in the sense that every game is a 4-point game. So that if you lose 4 in a row and you drop down, you can win 4 in a row and get right back in it because everyone you beat is a divisional opponent. But the number of 3-point games where teams are getting points, both teams are getting points, is amazing to me so far.
Do you see an issue there or no? Do you think teams are going to be more upset than they have been in years past about the 3-point games?
Well, I think it'll even out. I think that'll settle down a little bit and the better teams will start winning in regulation. But for now, it's been exciting.
We used to have a saying here, the Wild on a Wednesday. It was when Minnesota would come in, back in the old schedule, we'd see Minnesota 8 or 9 times, and they'd come to town, it'd be a weeknight, and Jacques Lemaire in the Wild would just bore you to tears. It was a recipe for an early bedtime. Bill Guerin has come in there and taken over. He's got Dean Evason as his coach. They made a lot of changes, frankly. 2 goalies out, 2 goalies in. Cam Talbot gets the free agent deal. They give Spurgeon the C. Bonino is in. Bukestad comes in. Obviously, Kaprizov, the rookie, has been dynamite. But the Wild, all of a sudden, in that that West with Colorado and St. Louis, they sit second right behind the Vegas Golden Knights, 3-1 so far. I guess is this the start of a great season for the Wild, a turnaround year?
Well, it's a good start for sure. And the Russian kid Kaprizov, he's dynamite.
Yeah.
But we all knew he was going to be. Like, this is not a guy who just showed up here without any advanced billing. And, he's been good. They're off to a good start. I'm not ready to, after 4 games, I'm not ready to pronounce anyone has recovered completely. But, yeah, I like Billy Guerin's aggressiveness as a rookie GM.
Enjoy the weekend. We'll catch up in a week's time. Take care of yourself.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brian. Or Brian Burke. Wild on a Wednesday. Those were the days, boys, hey?
Remember yeah, the good sent, old days. Eric Staal packing, too. That was when, like, ooh, what are they doing there?
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Fiala, 24. Kaprizov, 23. Erickson Ek, kind of quietly a pretty good player. He's 23. I don't know what the Bjugstad thing is going to look like. I mean, Pinder, for you and I, for years, we're kind of talking about Bjugstad. It just injuries sidelined him. They didn't trade Dumba. And I'll tell you what, you can do worse for a top four than Spurgeon, Suter, Dumba, and Brodin. They add Ian Cole as a five.
Straight to the club there. Yeah, they added him, what, yesterday, I guess?
Yeah, and if Cam Talbot can give them better goaltending than what Dubnyk or... I'm drawing a blank who the other guy, Stalock, was. Stalock's still there. I guess he's on the IR. But
yeah, Talbot's been going to carry a lot of the mail there. And they saw Kokkonen get the win last night.
Watch your mouth.
It's going to be a lot of Cam Talbot there. And the beauty of that division is all you have to do is be better than the California teams and the Coyotes, and you're in the playoffs. Which, you know, there's
that's achievable.
That's the softest number four we're going to see potentially. In terms of, like, the lowest threshold to get into the playoffs would probably be to be, you know, better than the bottom four teams in that Pacific division, because I don't think any of the California teams are good yet.
I was scared to bring it up with Berkey.
What's that?
But, you know, I'm always trying to think outside the box, right, guys? Idea guy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're cutting games, perhaps, say at the end there, you're not going to play as many.
Yeah.
What if you're in a playoff position? You're right on the bubble. You got the percentages,
and you got
to play the top team four times in the next five games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the schedule looks like for anyone like that, but
okay, yeah.
Could you? Jeez, we got a huge Rona outbreak. Can't play.
We got the sniffles.
Who's sick?
And then you'd screw yourself because Gary would say, no, I don't care. You have to play. And none of those guys are playing. So then you're calling up all these lumberjacks from the American Hockey League and you lose all four. Whoops. Thanks, Warner. Great idea.
Idea guy.
It does bring up a good point, though. Like, where is the line? We don't know. And we asked Elliot before the season started, and he said the NHL doesn't want to have a clearly defined line because we don't know how sketchy things are going to get. And what might seem hardline now could seem really lax down the road or vice versa, because we just don't know how rampant it's going to be. We've already seen two teams miss games now with Carolina joining Dallas. Is it going to be 18 teams? Is it going to be the only two teams? Like, we don't have a clue. But to your point, like, what happens if you're missing – if the Calgary Flames can't field 18 guys? They can't just call someone from Stockton. It's 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
If you got to go get Glenn Godden, it's 2 weeks. What's the threshold for the league to cancel a game if the Flames have two injuries and three guys with coronavirus?
And the thing for the Dallas Stars is, and it didn't really hit me until you brought it up this morning, Pinder, they haven't played a game yet. We're over a week into this season.
8 days.
God forbid they get dinged again. And both of these times, it wasn't even them. It was the other team, right? It was, wasn't it Florida?
No, and Florida's been the victim twice. That's what
the first. Okay, so the first one, and then...
17 cases in Dallas. Florida had two in a row to start the season with them, so those games get killed. And now Florida's supposed to play Carolina, and Carolina's got 2 to 3 cases, depending on what happened to that positive or false positive. And now, so the Panthers are sitting there with 4 of their first 6 games wiped off the schedule, and they don't even have a case.
So if you're 4 games behind already a week in, could it be conceivable that 2 months into the season, you're double digits, right? Who's to say? How are you making up 2 weeks of games? How are you doing it?
That's why it's so weird to see the Flames take 5 days here with no games. Like, is this not exactly the type of hole you want in May in your schedule to fill in some of these games?
Or not have.
Totally. Like, yeah, one or the other. But not a five-day break now. That's a bad idea.
And I don't know. Yeah,
The 7-team division, like it's not, if it was 8, you could always, it's not easy to have it. If you had 4 pairs always playing, it's easy to schedule. 7's a little harder, but still, 5 days, come on.
And especially if you're trying to coordinate road trips, so you don't have one-off, so you don't have the East teams flying out here to play once or twice. I'm sure there's a good reasoning behind it, but it does seem to be a bit wonky.
It's a Brooks and Dunn concert again, remember? Dome? Yeah. Nope.
Before we break, I'm thinking about the guys in Washington. We don't understand all the protocols. Maybe Pinder has read up on it because he's better at that than we are. But
we?
Yeah, you didn't read up on any of the COVID,
fair enough. Yeah.
NHL COVID protocols. I guarantee that.
Go ahead.
My point being, the boys are busy playing, and it's not a woe is me kind of thing. They're getting paid their dough. What a miserable existence. Like, I never imagined that they weren't allowed to go to each other's room. Like, when Conroy was on and he's saying, no, we try to shuffle them out as quickly as possible. Like, I'm like, oh, I thought that was the safety zone.
Pinder, your point is you'd rather be in that bubble. You heard how miserable the bubble was, but at least you're cut off. You can sit outside. You can sit. Yeah. You can be together. Here, you can't even sit in each other's room and have a beer, but yet you're in the practice facility together. You're on the bench beside each other. I guess I get it.
The road trips more harsh than the bubble, right? In that sense, what do you do on the road? You basically
how do you
can
travel
sit in your hotel room? That's it.
Well, how do you go on an airplane together, but you can't go to the other guy's room?
And I think to Brian's point, they needed to put protocols in place at a certain degree of, here's the line. It's going to be stern to get approval to play and travel. So here we are.
Hmm.
Pandemic sport.
Back to the bubble, boys. Back to the bubble.
But meanwhile, tonight, looking forward to that Habs or the Habs Canucks rematch.
Yeah, that will be good.
Bring it on. Bring it on. 7:47, we'll talk some football when we come back. We'll make some picks. I don't know if we're contractually obligated to do so, but we'll take a look. JLC, Jason Lackenfor, our NFL insider. Good news for Kansas City. There was a Mahomes sighting yesterday. We'll talk about it. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back to Boomer in the Morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
This is me just listening to music right now. Sorry.
Oh, I'm in the threshold too. Shame.
I'm in the downtown Miami arena.
Are you
hanging with Scott Mellenby?
I said to Jay on the talk. I said I dig this song way more than I should because there's not much to it.
No,
but I dig it.
The next song up is a No Doubt track.
Yeah, what would it be? It would be the I'm Just a Girl or whatever.
Yes,
I'm just a girl. Yeah, I hear you. Nine away from
eight. Would have been rocking in downtown Miami.
Sure.
I feel like big win, pour out into the streets. Miami, here we are.
It was the old, well, you didn't pour out in the streets there. No.
Okay, so a couple blocks away.
You ran to your car.
Right. One of those.
Officer, can you escort me to my vehicle? I would like to make it there safely.
Key West, please.
But the rink was awesome. It was so old and not old, but just the old school feel. Like, I think they only had 14 or 15,000 fans. And they're on top of you.
So where was, because again, where was it? You say downtown. Downtown what? What else is around there then?
There was nothing. I think they've started to
But how are you downtown if there's nothing there, I guess?
Well, what do you mean by what was down there? There was office buildings. There was a hotel, a couple hotels.
But unsafe?
Extremely unsafe. One of the worst places in North America. Top five worst places to be messing around in North America. Miami-Dade was awful.
Mm. Dade County, baby. Yeah, that's always on the news. Florida man. Yeah.
Which is crazy to think that people, you'd still rather have the rink there than where it is because no one goes. It's too far.
But
it's not ideal.
Do the basketball teams put their rinks in a swamp?
I don't know.
This is why we're asking questions, right? Because we don't know where that rink is in Miami. So
yeah, that rink is right downtown. It's exactly where it should be. It's the same old thing. The NHL owners, they put their, well, not all of them, but lots of you, I'm getting free land. Let's build out here. And then I'll try and scam everyone. I'll build all the buildings to go around it and try to maximize not only the team and the building, but I'm going to also buy all the land up around it before anyone knows the plans, and I'm going to build some hotels. And that's fine. I don't begrudge anyone trying to make a buck, except you're sewering your franchise. Absolutely. Like, they had location downtown Fort Lauderdale. They could have built that thing. No, let's not go there. Oh.
Yeah, it's Ottawa, Phoenix, and Florida, the three places that have the biggest difficulty selling tickets relative to teams around them, like regionally. Like, how can Tampa be a slam dunk and Miami flop? Well, because you put it in the suburbs.
I wonder,
it was a real estate play. Ditto for Arizona. It was a real estate play with, what was it, Steve Elmer and Wayne was in there. Like, when you get business people who their motives for owning an NHL team are to make real estate decisions, of course they put the rinks in the wrong place.
I was going to say, I wonder, and if Minnesota wasn't such a hockey crazy place, would you have put that building in St. Paul instead of in Minneapolis? I don't know. But
I feel like it's central in St. Paul, though, and I haven't been there. Rhett would be able to say it. But so maybe it's not as sexy as being downtown Minneapolis, but at least they didn't put it in a suburb outside of both cities, right?
Yeah, it's not exactly.
It's downtown, but it's kind of sleepy there, right? Like, there's no.
Oh, it's very sleepy, but yeah. that town isn't known for partying, right? Like, so, yeah, St. Paul is not, by any stretch, exciting or fun, but it's accessible.
And New Jersey's rink is in Newark, but you kind of don't, you'd rather it not be, because it's not a great place to hang out.
Yeah, they're trying to build up around there, too. But I don't know that, I mean, they had it in a swamp there, too, before, so.
Yeah, it's better than where it was, apparently. Yeah. That seems to be the word.
But you go to a game in a city, because, you know, you go to Philadelphia, it's in the city, but it's in the middle of a huge parking lot where the other stadiums are. I just keep, I come back to, is there one that's better in the league than Nashville? You walk outside of the building and you are on Broadway, which is pre-COVID, obviously, but it is electric just about any time of day, any day of the week.
Well, and in New York, you got it on Broadway.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, there's Boston, it was really central for our visit there. Montreal, it's right in the action. Toronto, it's right downtown. Like, you want to be where the people are. You don't want to be in the burbs. Like, when it's a Tuesday night and an out-of-conference team's coming in and someone has to drive half an hour and worry about, geez, can I have this second beer if I'm going to be in a car for 40 minutes? Like, that's what everyone in Phoenix has to decide. It works if you're the Cardinals, because the NFL has 9 dates a year. You get a preseason game and
Sunday
8 home games,
man.
And if you're lucky, you get other things. That's it. It's once a week. It's an event that's more than a day.
Yeah.
Good luck on a Tuesday night, though.
And Los Angeles isn't ideal. You've got that little.
They've turned it into something.
Yeah,
there.
But again, that's another one of those things. You start walking anywhere 3, 4, 5 blocks away from LA Live, and don't go alone, kind of a thing.
It's better than it used to be.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not like the Forum was in.
No, you're right.
In Inglewood. Yeah.
Inglewood's
not.
So.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be in the party. I'm fine with not being on 17th Ave, right? Like, that's fine. But it has to be accessible for people.
Yeah.
And not
shouldn't be
the,
hard to go from work to the game, right? That's
no.
the concept.
So which is the worst? Is it Ottawa?
Ottawa and Florida.
I think if you told someone that a Canadian team would be an overtime goal away from going to the Stanley Cup final and they had like 1,000 unsold seats, I think that has to be the worst.
Because
that was Ottawa against Sidney Crosby's Pittsburgh Penguins in a 7-game Eastern Conference final. Like, what? They didn't sell it out?
When you're in Arizona, you still feel like you're in Phoenix when you're going to that rink. But when you go to Ottawa, you're leaving the city and you're on the freeway for a long time.
For a long time. Bring a book.
Before you get to this rink sitting in the middle of a field.
Our boy Mean Gene's doubling down, too. He's completely screwed up what could have been free land right downtown in Ottawa. He's busy suing the partner that he was going to build a rink with. They're suing him. He's completely screwed it up. Oh, no, we love Kanata. We're thinking about a new rink in Kanata. Like, oh, my God. Worst owner in the league.
Oh,
Mean Gene.
My name is Eugene. It is 7:58. Jason Lackenfora, our NFL insider. What do we got this weekend? Are the Bills playing this weekend, Retro?
Is it bye week? Bye?
Is this the bye week?
No, next week.
No, you could give it, Jay. I found this one popped up on the internet. They've got their Buffalo. They're bringing back the shout song.
Oh yeah,
very exciting.
It's been there, hasn't it?
The Bills will make it. What?
Happy.
Come on and shout. How are you feeling about it? Have you had time to think about it? It's still a few days away. Are you?
How's the shoveler doing?
We're nervous. Very nervous.
Yeah.
I might need the dog on Sunday to be the babysitter because I'm going to be dialed in.
I think you might be getting the dog for more than just Sunday.
The dog thought he was going to return to his family, and then now the carpet pulled right back out under him, back to the stranger's house.
Jason Lacanfora.
It's torture.
Coming up. Sportsnet 960, Peter. The Fan.
On the air, online, on the Sportsnet mobile app, and on your smart speaker. Boomer in the Morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You can get in touch with the show by the fan feedback line, 960-960. Brought to you by SML Entertainment, making family time more exciting. Pool tables, pinball, ping pong, beachcomber, and Caldera hot tubs, and more. Visit smlentertainment.com. We'll get Lacanfora in a minute. It's going to be tricky. Flames play in the afternoon. Can we move that to the evening, or can we move it to Saturday or something?
I don't like this. This is ruining things.
1:05 kickoff between the Packers and the Bucks, and then 4:40 p.m. it's the Bills and the Chiefs. Maybe the Packers will blow the doors off the Bucks. And
no, but it, you know, that's fine, but that ruins that game.
I know.
So what? How nice would a Saturday night game be? Eat your corn, get a big bowl of the corn out,
Hollis.
Settle in. Yeah. It's cooler on the weekend this weekend. Watch the Flames. Big W, and then wake up on Sunday, make your nachos, and watch football. Come on, what are we doing?
What are the meal plans for Sunday?
I'm on like a carnivore-y kind of diet, so I'm eating red meat.
Because it's a 4:40 kickoff for the Bills. I feel like you need to. If you need them to show up, then you'd better show up.
I'll go with ground beef. I'll make like a taco-y. Taco-y beef, lots of cheese, ground beef, keto-y kind of thing. Klein would be proud of me. Mm. That's what I'm going with. And I'm just going to eat it with a spoon. 3 pounds of ground beef, taco mix, and cheddar cheese. Maybe some salsa.
So are you keto-ing now? Is that what this is? So no chips?
Very low carb.
I see. Where does the popcorn fall in?
Low carb.
Is it?
Well, when you put 2 pounds of butter on it, it outweighs. You get lots of the fats. So
no,
good.
Yeah.
So good fats, huh?
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. We got Lacanfora coming up here in a moment. We'll also take a look at some of the lines in advance of the game. We have our new degenerate ready to roll, I'm sure, in Ryan Pinder. Be able to tell you off the top of his head. But time for our NFL Insider.
Jason Lacanfora, NFL Insider, is brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. The giant sales event is on now. Get 0% financing, no payments until August 2021, 3 free payments, and more. At the giant, Country Hills Toyota.
Jason, good to talk to you, man. How's the week been?
Oh, I can't complain, man. I can't complain. Hope everything's going well with you guys. You know, I'm ready for these coaching searches to end, but they're apparently not ready to end, so...
Anything intriguing?
The intrigue continues.
I was going to say, everyone, regardless of who gets hired, usually somebody's up in arms, but someone will tell you why it's a great hire. What have you seen this week as to what's making sense, what's not making sense the way you see it?
Well, look, I think there's going to be a lot of skeptical Lions fans, and understandably so. You've got an apparatus in place that's never really been able to hire the right people. And when they did hire the right people in Jim Caldwell, they unceremoniously fired him. And that's the only time they've hired a head coach with former head coaching experience dating back to the mid-90s. Here they go with the inexperienced model again, 6-year deals. You got people like Rod Wood, their team president, and you know Mike Disner, their cap guy, and Chris Spielman, who just left the broadcasting booth to become an executive with the organization, making this hire, and they go and arguably hire people less experienced for the jobs than themselves. We'll see. You know, something eventually has to work in Detroit, I guess, dumb luck would say, or, you know, regression to the mean, or, you know, nobody gets it wrong forever. But for a team that's kind of stuck in the middle like them, from a roster and cap standpoint, with the quarterback issue being something they might need to address sooner rather than later, it was a surprising decision for me, and I have to say I'm just sorry. When it comes to the Ford family, I'm a skeptic.
What do you make of the Jets? Another coaching change. What's new coach? Will he stick with the quarterback? How do you see this playing out with New York?
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to really come down to what Robert Saleh says in that regard. I think it's going to be more about Joe Douglas, the general manager, and his read on the marketplace and what value is there in Sam Darnold, what value is there in the second overall pick, and what is our evaluation of whether it's the kid from BYU or whether it's the kid from Ohio State. We know, where do we see organizationally our ability to maximize being in this position? Would not surprise me if they hold an auction for that pick. I mean, I've been reporting for a while now that a lot of people who know Joe Douglas well are assuming that that's what he does, given the state of that organization. And you try to make a go of it with Sam Darnold, you get a bounty for that second overall pick. There will be other quarterbacks in next year's draft. Outside of Trevor Lawrence, as good as some of these other kids look, you know, there's a fairly significant drop-off. So, yeah, you know, my concern there is just the kind of defense Robert Saleh wants to run. They're not close to having the athletes to run it. And Rome wasn't built in a day, but that Pete Carroll school of thought with a heavy emphasis on cover three and, you know, the secondary being the star. Well, yeah, when you got Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor and Brandon Browner and even the dude Maxwell on the other side who was beating people up for a while, you can get away with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Cliff Averill in his prime and Bennett in his prime up front. And, yeah, you don't have to blitz a lot, and your four can beat their five up front, and you've got five or six on the back end who are all Pro Bowl caliber guys or close to it. Okay, but we've seen other people try to run that scheme in Atlanta with the Chargers. I have yet to see any of these Pete Carroll disciples go their own way. And, I mean, even Dan Quinn, the year that they got to the Super Bowl, is because Kyle Shanahan had the offense going like bonkers. So I'm not so sure about the wedding there of philosophy and personnel. They're going to have to do a hell of a job on the back end. And you would say, well, who was one of the players who would most be a fit in that scheme? Jamal Adams. He traded him to Pete Carroll.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
So when you know, maybe that it doesn't happen at all, but there does seem to be a lot of momentum to the Deshaun's getting out of Houston, or at least would be happy with the change of scenery. Do the Jets look appetizing? Do they have the assets to make that work? Is it not the right time for them? What about Indianapolis? I mean, are there places that jump out to you as front runners just fit-wise right now, or is everyone a fit with a franchise quarterback?
I'm not let's see who they hire as head coach. I feel like people are getting so over their skis on this thing. The kid hasn't demanded a trade, publicly or privately. He's expressing frustration on social media, and his agent's telling everybody how pissed off he is. But that's different. He has it. I mean, it's very easy to say, I want out. I'm not going to play anymore. You know, we've seen it happen and work for a lot of guys. Very recently, you know, Jalen Ramsey and Trent Williams, and I mean, Yannick Ngakoue, and like, it's not rocket science. So I, you know, they got to hire coach, and let's see what the quarterback thinks of the coach. And then if he still wants no part of Houston, you don't have to do anything right now. You could come back to him in 3 weeks. You could, you know, make a few other moves and see what he thinks. And then could they reach a point of no return? I mean, it's certainly possible. But he would be an upgrade for 85% of the league. Now, you look at some of these, you know, situations with young GMs, guys who just got hired. They tend to be a little gun shy at first. So I don't know that they'd be willing to wade into these waters. But who? I mean, outside of I don't know, six teams, I don't know who wouldn't at least have internal discussions about Deshaun Watson. And then it's also, you know, going to be about what does Nick Caserio want on the other end? Does he want a quarterback he thinks he can win now with? Does he just want draft picks? Maybe he wants his own young quarterback. And to get one of the top three guys, you're probably going to need one of the top three picks. I mean, does he like Sam Darnold? I mean, and Darnold, you know, plus the second overall pick, plus a one the following year and something else. Yeah, I mean, we could certainly connect a lot of dots. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, who Caserio drafted in New England, mm-hmm. plus a bunch of picks. You know, the Miami thing, I don't know. Like, I know that, like, Deshaun Watson loves Miami, would love to live there, but I don't know that they match up as trade partners. I don't. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, look, Atlanta, Arthur Smith with that guy would be awesome, but nobody's taking, I mean, they don't want Matt Ryan in Houston, so you'd have to find a way to move Matt Ryan, you know, dump some of that money on somebody if you can. And then trade a whole bunch of picks for Watson. I mean, I could make the case for there's 32 teams in the league. I mean, I think you could easily make the case for probably at least 24 teams needing, you know, to look at a Deshaun Watson as a potential franchise savior.
How will we remember Phil Rivers? I don't know that he feels like anyone else. That's a unique cat.
Yeah, definitely. His own dude, a gamer, a gunslinger, unconventional, you know, cool personality. I know he would piss people off, and he's a bit of a hard ass. But, you know, even the way he trash-talked people without cussing and, you know, the whole sort of Southern charm, all shucks thing, but also would get in your face. A bit of a whiner, I think that's probably fair to say. I think the referees yeah. would say that. And He acknowledged as much in his very uniquely homespun statement on retirement. You know, one of the best quarterbacks of his generation, without a doubt. And a guy who you start thinking about memorable connections of this sort of century of football, the you know, turning in the early 2000s when the rules really start changing and they're kind of gearing the game towards what Peyton Manning and Tom Brady wants. You think about certain quarterback, tight end, quarterback, receiver duos, you know, Rivers to Gates is certainly up there. Does that make him a Hall of Famer? I'm not entirely convinced, guys. I'm just not. I mean, I get you look at some of the raw numbers now, and he's top 10 in this and top 15 in that, but you know who has the sixth highest passer rating in the history of the NFL? He's a current quarterback. I bet if I gave you 15 guesses, you wouldn't get him. Kirk Cousins. Has the sixth highest rating passer rating in the history
yeah.
of the NFL.
Okay, yeah, that's
oh dear.
You know what I mean? So like yeah, is he a Hall of Famer? Like if he retired right now?
No.
You know, and so I get it. Like Breeze is top Rivers is top 15 and you know, what is he, ninth in yardage? I got news for you. By the time 5 years from now he's eligible to go in, yeah. and I'm a huge Matt Stafford guy. Matt Stafford's going to pass him. There's four or five other guys who are going to pass him. 60,000 passing yards ain't going to be what it used to be, totally. Especially with dudes playing until they're 40. So is Matt Stafford then a Hall? If you put Rivers in 2027, then is Stafford in 2033? I just think it's a slippery slope because the numbers are so off the charts now, and the historical comparisons don't fly. So I think you have to compare him to his contemporaries and. You could certainly make the case, but it's going to become a slippery slope. And I'm not even you have to be in the Super Bowl thing or anything like that. I just think we've got to really be careful about the standard. Like if you're putting Phillip Rivers in, you better put Ken Anderson in like right now. You know, you better start really reevaluating guys who played in the 70s and 80s. So I don't know. I mean, could I be convinced? Yeah. Is he a surefire guy for me? No.
Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider. Limited participant in practice was Patrick Mahomes yesterday. He is still in protocol, but sure seems like this is a guy who's going to be on the field on Sunday. Would you agree?
If it keeps trending in this direction, absolutely. You know, I guess they originally put him down as a full participant because on the original practice report, and it was basically a walkthrough. So, I mean, he took all the reps, but you're moving at 20%. So it wasn't a full practice, so then they recalibrated his designation to say limited, because if it was a full practice, like in terms of actually, you know, going at full speed, would he have done everything? We don't know. But that will probably be more of a standard practice today, and if he is full go today, then I think, you know, that would be another obvious huge step. But in saying all that, you know, this isn't a linear recovery for everybody. You know, once you're in the concussion protocol, if at any time you exhibit certain symptoms or your baseline testing isn't where it needs to be, then just because yesterday was a great day doesn't mean that tomorrow is, in terms of return to play. But certainly for now, everything has trended in a very positive direction.
So with that said, how well-equipped is the Bills' defense to slow down that chief offense?
I mean, it will be tough, and they are going to have to be more balanced on offense, Buffalo. And it doesn't have to be all runs. Maybe it's 8 to 10, I don't know, screen passes, little flares, little wheel routes to Devin Singletary just to keep the defense honest, to grind out the clock, and to keep Mahomes on the sidelines. They've got some talent in the secondary. I mean, they've got two really good safeties. Tre'Davious White's one of the best cover corners in the league. We saw some of their depth guys really step up against the Ravens, but this will be a very different challenge. I think Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier will concoct a very potent defensive game plan. Doesn't mean there won't be some breakdowns. They don't have a dominant pass rush, but like Jerry Hughes can be a disruptor, and Addison on the other side can be a disruptor. And I do not love the Chiefs' offensive line the last 4 to 6 weeks here. So is that an issue? I also think, I mean, this could be weird, but I also think Andy Reid is going to run the ball a whole lot more than a lot of us have become accustomed to, because I think the Bills will be playing a lot of nickel and dime, and he's going to want to run at that and see if he can find some joy. And I think, you know, Patrick Mahomes, that toe was, before the concussion,
yeah,
he was not by any means totally comfortable back there. The toe is an issue. You know, the best way to help him out is to stay balanced, is to run the ball a little bit and try to limit the 7-step drops. But, yeah, I think Buffalo can hang with him. I do.
And the other matchup, Brady at Lambeau, he's played in cold weather. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is this feels like one of those statement games for Aaron Rodgers, doesn't it, where he can – it's all Tom Brady, all Brady all the time, a real chance for him to kind of solidify his spot.
Certainly. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers is obviously a super competitive, highly motivated dude. And as great as he's been, I mean, he's got one ring, and, you know, Brady's got too many for his. He can't even put all his on one hand. Yes, I think Aaron Rodgers, you know, he grew up in that same sort of Bay Area that that Brady did. He's got that same chip on his shoulder that Brady did. Now, he didn't fall all the way to 199, but certainly, you know, when you're talking about you maybe going first overall and you go back into the first round, we know how that's fueled his fire. There's some similarities there between those two. I do wonder about, you know, them not having their left tackle, and does that show up? You know, is this a day where a Shaq Barrett gets off? I think Ndamukong Suh, if he's able to get interior pressure and he's playing at a really high level right now, that's a problem for any quarterback. And I'll be fascinated to see Todd Bowles. Does he sit back there in a cover two shell and just try to take away Devontae Adams and force them to dink and dunk? Because they can do that, and they can be highly efficient doing that. And then on the other side, Bruce Arians, we know that the underbelly of the Packers is the run defense will wilt if you go at it with any regularity. I really like the way, and it's been a long time since I've said this, I really like what Leonard Fournette's given them the last few weeks. And One thing about Brady, he will dissect where the blitz is coming from, and he will get it to his hots, and he will get it right in their hands. All they have to do is catch it. And I could see Fournette having a fairly big role in the pass game himself. I like what he's done yards after the catch in recent weeks. That's a good Bucs offensive line. So I think it sets up to be a really good game. I think the last quarterback with the ball in his hands might be the winner.
Because they weren't using Ronald Jones quite as much of a pass, or even Fournette when Jones was injured, as a passing option as frequently as they have here in the last two, three games.
Well, I think you go back to the bye. They had the late bye week 13, and they were under a lot of pressure for just it can't always be four verts. It can't always be, you know, 5 and 7 step drops. And at week 13, I think they had the lowest yards per attempt to running backs in the league. And they have worked on that, and they have improved that. And Bruce Arians just got more balanced. Okay, if this is a 3 and out, but we establish the run, we can live with that because we have enough weapons that we could get that big play later. But let's try to run them into some different looks and force them to treat us as something other than a straight vertical team. And it's worked very well for them. It also sets up the play action, too. I mean, if you're always in the shotgun or it's always a 7-step drop and you're running the ball, you know, bottom 10% of the league, they're not going to sell and bite on the play action enough, when, you know, as much when you go to it. So staying more balanced, throwing to the running backs more has, I think, allowed them to get bigger shots off of play action down the stretch as well.
Jay, as always, appreciate you. We'll talk to you on Monday. Enjoy the games, man. Have a good one.
My pleasure, gentlemen. You guys do the same.
Jason Lockenfora, NFL Insider, is brought to you by the giant Country Hills Toyota. Get savings up to 20% on remaining 2020s and $5,000 off new 2021s. It's the giant sales event on now at Country Hills Toyota.
824, we'll step away here, come back. Last night in the NHL, handful of games. The Leafs and Oilers was the marquee matchup. Didn't really live up to it, but man, the Habs and the Canucks put on a show. We'll talk about that. Plus, Flames finally get to play again on Sunday. Bit of waiting around. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning is on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Every Friday on Hockey Central at noon, Peter Labardius digs into his mailbag. Send in your questions to sportsnet.ca/960. He'll pick one of the questions. If it's yours, you win a $100 gift card to Ruth's Chris. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, Calgary's best steakhouse, located in the heart of downtown. Looking forward to celebrating with you again soon. Go Flames, go. It's Ruth's Chris. 832, Boom, here in the iconic downtown studios, along with Jay. We got Pinder, we got Warner.
I'm just cutting up the show here. Yeah. And Rhett, did you say earlier that for the football this weekend, you're just going to eat 3 pounds of taco beef with a spoon?
Yeah, and cheddar cheese.
And cheese, okay.
I'll be honest.
I wanted to clarify.
I just kind of, it feels like that's kind of uninspired. I thought that for one of the biggest games for the Bills in about 30 years, you'd be a little more all in.
Like not even
nachos,
any kind of
chili,
not even any
stuff, kind right?
of conveyance for the beef. And
no,
the
like just
and the,
beef.
Just spoon, huh?
You're just gonna brown some beef.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
With taco seasoning, taco-y beef, lots
Listen,
of cheese, ground beef, keto-y kind of thing. Klein would be proud of me. That's what I'm going with, and I'm just gonna eat it with a spoon. 3 pounds of ground beef, just taco mix, and cheddar cheese.
3 pounds.
It's a fair amount.
Just I feel like that's a nice...
Eat it with
I'm
a
good
spoon.
With that. That's what I'm going with, and I'm just going to eat it with a spoon.
Well, I hope they're...
Do you want some hot sauce, maybe some pepper?
I hope the Bills are putting a little more into their game prep than you are.
No. I'm focused on the game today, or that day. I don't want the food. Like, when I start screaming and yelling, then the plate goes flying. I can't have too much around me.
So you want all that ground beef and those tiny little, all over.
Because it's a 4:40 kickoff. You've got all day to let something sit there and bubble away and get nice.
Oddly enough, Dean, I actually said to the shoveler last night, sick of the slow cooker.
Are you?
I think I've used it since our return about 7 times.
What are you putting in there?
Short ribs, beef ribs. What else have I done? We made a chicken dippy kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken Nippy.
Yep. Delicious.
Yeah.
But just it's gotten a heavy. It's been in the rotation, maybe too much.
But you had even said that the temps are going to be down. It's going to be even chillier. Boy, I'm just going to throw it out there. You're the king of the castle. I'm going to come back to you tomorrow. I want you to at least think about it.
Feels like you're missing an opportunity. This doesn't feel like Rhett. This feels like somebody.
It does. That feels like Rhett. Yeah, somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. I guess I'll just ground some beef and put cheese on it.
Yeah, but I'm doing the
taco beef with
I'm
cheese.
I'm healthy. I'm being a health nut. I'm on the health 2021. January.
I just about said bullshit for the second time on this show.
That's close.
Like twice. I just about fired one out. What are you talking about?
Gonna stay lean. Looking good.
Okay. You put some thought into it and come back tomorrow with better than ground beef with cheese on it. For
you know what? I'll make some, because I'm the keto king and the carnivore diet, I'll throw some wings in for you.
I've
never made wings.
Of all the...
I feel like at least wings. Now we're getting into like buffalo staples. There's a tie-in. Action. You're putting in some effort. Like, come on. You can do
maybe
a spread here.
You're right. Wings it is. What else is Buffalonian?
Why don't beef you make that rack? Stinger sub thing you like so much?
But I can't have the bread. I'm off the bread,
yeah,
Jay.
Bread, keto, yeah, okay.
Well, you're a, you know what you are? You're a dullard. You are an absolute dullard. Who am I talking to right now? What are you talking about? It's the Bills.
I'm off bread.
I can't have a Stinger sub because I can't have...
I could do everything else, though.
Yeah, maybe you just wait till next time they have a game that if
that's
they
right.
Go to the Super Bowl, you know?
Why don't you all shut your mouths? Watch me streak Arrowhead Stadium when I'm down there with my Bills gear on. I'm still not convinced I can't get there. I think there's a chance I could still make that game.
You can get out of Dodge where those testing rules kick in. You don't need a test.
What's
to go
the
there
testing
yet.
Rules?
Well, if you go up into the States, you're going to need a test coming up here.
Nah, thanks. 24.
When's that kicking in?
26th.
This month. I don't have the dates in front of me, but yeah.
26th, I believe.
There you go.
Okay. Three pounds of ground beef.
Oh, 3 pounds.
My travel website has me going to Tampa Bay. Remember, I was looking at that.
Uh-huh.
You and the healthcare workers will be watching the Super Bowl, hey?
And I'm just going to eat it with a spoon. Are there two Kansas cities? Which one am I going to?
It's the same city. It's just different sides of the border. One's in Missouri and one's
in
Kansas.
Are you sure? I don't want to do the fort thing that Dean and I did.
That you did. Rhett and I are going to... Rhett and I are going to Fort St. John for an event, and he bought tickets to Fort McMurray. Not the same thing.
You mean this whole time you've been telling me that we're going to Fort McMurray, we're actually going to Fort St. John?
Apparently. Rhett had been, yeah, we gotta go up, these guys want us to come up and it's kind of a sportsman's dinner. Okay, where is it? Oh, Fort McMurray. Oh, okay, yeah, sure. And then about 3 days before, yeah, turns out it's not Fort McMurray. It's Fort
McMurray.
As
we need to go to Fort McMurray.
No, we don't. We need to go to Fort St. John.
Which is in BC.
You mean this whole time you've been telling me that we're going to Fort McMurray? We're actually going to Fort St. John?
Apparently. Rhett Warner.
Oh my God.
Booked the flights to the front.
That's awesome!
Well, so much. At least a lot has changed since then. That's not a mistake you would make now.
It's only a 9-hour
drive. Are there two Kansas cities?
It could have been worse. It could have been St. John or St. John's out in the Maritimes.
Yeah, if we'd have been flying a 6-hour flight. I thought Fort McMurray was closer than this.
We had an east. What's going on here?
Away from the sun? What are we doing?
This is your captain speaking. We're just flying over Toronto right now.
Toronto?
A couple hours left in the flight. Ooh.
I was thinking this morning, and it's maybe not... let's assume that you weren't
Don't
on
assume,
a...
assume, Dean.
If first trip, when everything lifts, when everything gets back to pseudo-normal, and it's like, yeah, you can get out. What's the first place you want to go to? J-Boy, where do you want to go? You and the boy and the wifey, you're going to get out of here and you're going to spread your wings and finally have a little time for yourself.
It's got to be Strath Vegas for Jay, doesn't it?
Strath Vegas. Somewhere in Europe. That general.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Portugal, Jay. Portugal. Beautiful. Oh, supposed to be wonderful.
Weren't you moving there?
I still might.
Portugal. Yeah. What about you, Pinder?
Well, Seattle for the Jays in August. Let's go. Come on. Get things going here. Let's go.
High
Let's
bars.
Go.
I think you maybe get to Seattle. I don't think you're going to see any Blue Jay baseball, though.
Those are some high bars you've
Why?
Set for your...
If I can... Man can...
But again, I'm playing her. Okay, fair enough. So that would be... So you're not taking the family. That's just you getting out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Mm. That's what dreams are made of.
Dirtbag.
I thought maybe it'd be... Down under.
Have some beer and watch baseball. It's been a while.
Are you happier anywhere in the world than you are at that ballpark watching the Blue Jays? Like, even if you were to go to Toronto and watch them, it feels like you're happier
it's not even
there.
Close. No. Toronto, gross. Yeah, I love Toronto, but the best home stadium in baseball is when the Blue Jays go to Seattle 3 games a year. I will not accept any other answers.
I can't imagine being around you. Take normal Pinder and then ramp that up by like 3 or 4 times.
Well,
yeah,
and surround him
and add booze. God, I can't.
And
even
surround him with
more
with
Lugans,
20,000 like-minded folk.
Yep,
and no family to have to stay somewhat coherent for.
Yeah, I can't imagine how
city.
Happy you would be.
Wonderful time.
God,
lovely.
Just vibrating.
Oh, where are you gonna go?
Just revert back to 2013 Pinder.
You know what I was thinking I wanted to do? And this is going to sound...
Colby Rasmus, Cowgirls, 2 a.m.
Neckbeard.
Cletus.
I thought this morning, I was literally thinking, I want to go ice fishing. I want to go to like Saskatchewan or back home to Manitoba.
You can do that. You don't have to wait for anything.
I don't know.
Dude.
I don't think you can.
You can do that tomorrow. Of course you can.
But can we be together? I don't want to sit by myself. I want to get some guys together and some garlic sausage
and
some liquor.
Spaced appropriately.
We're not sitting outside. We're sitting in the shack. You need the shack. I want to sit in the shack with a fire and some booze and garlic sausage and pickled eggs and get liquored up and fish.
Oh, it's smelling there.
Gray area.
You know?
So you're going fishing?
It's not what I would do if I could go anywhere, but I was thinking that I really want to do something.
I got a hut. You can come over this weekend if you want.
We're not going to catch any fish.
Oh, yeah. For sure you do.
Stock the pond? 100%.
Really?
Guaranteed. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yep.
Haven't done anything for so long.
Go skiing. Come on. Go. Get in the mountains.
Just want to do something.
Well, he's a tumbler. When he skis, he tumbles.
I'm a better skier than you.
No, you're not.
I am.
Professional athlete.
Sense of competition here.
Better skier than you.
Pal. Hello, sales department. Boomer Warner ski race.
Last
chalets,
thing,
booze. Let's go.
Because I'm trying to think of the last thing I did. We went to Miami. We came home. Rona hit. Went to Manitoba for about 3 days. To work on the farm, and then came back, and that's been it.
Same with Rhett. He's been sitting still.
Just wanted to do something.
Is that a shot?
No, it's not a shot. It's attempted humor. Fell flat, I think.
But you know what? It's going to feel better for all of us, right? We're all going to appreciate things a little bit more on the other side of this. Like the complaining's
really?
Going to go down, less negative.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Complaining.
You're going to Vegas. Who are you kidding? You're going to Vegas, Dean. That's what you need. You
I
miss
do.
Vegas.
I really do miss Vegas. I really do. Great food. The energy of that town. I do miss that.
There's going to be some sales when this thing ramps up.
But is it going to be sales? Or are they going to put it through the roof? Because everybody wants to go. They're gonna get their pound
you're
of flesh.
Not get a ticket. You gotta book now.
You'll be ready. You gotta be
hope
sitting
you, and
hunched
hope
over
time
the
it
mouse,
out correctly.
Ready to pound the button.
Or go right now. There's the
uh-huh.
The option's there. You're not a politician. You're allowed to leave.
Yeah, the vibe seems to be really good for people that are heading out on flights. Like, Hawaii, what do you think? Seems to have really worked for people right now.
Oh, sorry, I'm not living up to everyone else's standards.
Well, that, and I don't have an American fiance or lady
there
friend.
Is that.
To...
There's a lot of people that don't. I got to tell you.
A lot of Canadians don't have American spouses?
And they yet seem to be have no issues getting down to the old U.S. of A.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't
I think
know.
There's tens of thousands of people flew from Calgary to Hawaii over just the holidays.
Apparently some of them are also getting vaccinated down there. How that works, I don't know.
Vaccine. Get that herd immunity. Yeah. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. Get that vaccine into people. Let's go.
Vaccinating for something. We don't know if it's COVID. There's needles and there's a vaccine, but not sure what it is. But it'll be nice when it all kind of opens up. Can't wait.
2024? What are you?
Yeah.
Flames rink or that? What's first?
Don't talk that way, Ryan. It's depressing for people.
Isn't that supposed to start this year?
Even with your tongue in cheek.
They will break ground following a, quote, stampede.
Oh, really?
That's the plan. Now, if stampede doesn't go, maybe they can move that up. Maybe they can. I don't know. But it's it's just not a 1-2 buckle of your shoe. That's going to take a while.
Are you allowed to leave your kids with other people right now?
Why don't you fly in the in-laws? Get them off the Fox News. Get them into Canada.
Could
get them looking after the kids and go do things.
You do.
That's going to have to happen quickly, though.
You do deserve a break.
Yeah, it's about time you got out of Dodge. Hey?
It's nothing about the break. I have deserved to go watch the Buffalo Bills beat up on Patrick Mahomes, and then when they win, decide to stay in the States and go to the Super Bowl rather than flying back and forth.
I think you just take your dog back, and the dog will basically babysit your boys.
Jay, we've got an arrangement.
I'm not sure you do.
I'm not sure we do.
Is this what business dealings are like with you, Rhett? Like, is this how things roll? Or if you
who's doing the 2-foot shuffle over there? Not me.
It's like the Bettman and the PA earlier. Well, we had an arrangement, yeah, but we'd like to now maybe change that if we could.
Yeah, but there's certain stressors on the system.
Thought we'd agreed, but
we're not renegotiating. We're just highlighting some of the inequities.
We're just talking. Right. We're just talking here. Back and forth. Just talking.
Yeah.
Doesn't Commie have a buddy in Kansas City?
Yes, he knows the family that owns the MLS team there. He's got buddies that, they could run that town.
Maybe he could set me up with some tickets.
8:47, we will come back with your texts, 960-960. What you want to talk about, coming up, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer in the morning, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Think they're happy in Vancouver about that win last night. Huge one for them. Snapped a 3-game losing streak. Rintoul brought to you by Cubex Equipment, your truck and heavy-duty equipment repair specialists, hydraulic and electrical repair, inspections, welding, fabrication, and more. Visit them online, cubexltd.com. What's up in the 9 today, Ryan?
Kevin Woodley of InGold Magazine going to join us 9:05, and we got a Pinder report to get to as well. So we will talk some goaltending and exactly about those Canucks, who he covers for NHL.com on top of his InGold Magazine duties.
Very nice. Very nice.
Do you have any goalie questions we can pass along? Questions about the voodoo, the witchcraft that is stopping pucks?
Mm-hmm.
You have any?
Do I have any?
You want to know about Ben Bishop's post process or no?
Ask him about the Curtis curve and why
Curtis
it never
curve.
The Curtis curve and why it never caught on. Yeah. It
seemed
like
an
it,
easy way to pick your stick up off the ice instead of wrapping 2 rolls of tape around your knob.
Like
right?
A more natural way to hold your wrist, you know, when you had the thing. Why didn't the Curtis curve, which I think Andy Moog was kind of the guy who really used the Curtis curve a lot. Why didn't it? So that'd be my question.
I got writing it down. There you go.
What's up today, boys? Anything worth mentioning?
I'm watch the Tiger thing, guys. Come on.
City.
You're flying to Kansas City?
Drop my kids off at one of your guys' place, and then I'm going to Kansas City.
Yeah, that's illegal. No.
Work
although
for
it's child care. Might be a loophole.
Yeah, yeah
takers?
I...
Any takers? No?
No, because They'll be driving age by the time you come to pick them back up, would be my experience. Jay, let's
charge them right when they're that old. That's sort of a side
thing. Get out of here.
What you want to talk about with Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. The 4x4 sales event is on now. Experience the Varsity value where everybody rides. VarsityChrysler.com.
960-960. Great text here for a number of reasons. Also, thanks for listening for a lot over the last 2 days. Easy fix for everyone. Boom can just adopt Rhett's kids. Dog stays. Kids get the dog. Kids actually go to school instead of bingo dabbing socks. And Rhett can fly to Missouri to eat ground beef and watch the Bills get clapped.
There we go.
Whoa.
That's a lot there.
Clapped mean lose? Or...
Yeah, good. Smacked.
Yeah, that was, wasn't that Claypool? Said that the Browns were going to get clapped. I believe that's what that was.
Yeah.
Could have won that game.
Solid music selection today, Boomer. How about some Moist or Blink 182 song?
Yeah, I was just thinking the opposite. I'm thinking, man, this really hasn't aged well. Is that just me?
Yeah.
Pinter, it's good stuff, Pinter. You're just a little too young. It's okay.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, no, that was junior high school. I remember it. It's just like I thought it was a little more...
In fairness, though, I like the Santa Monica.
You went deep
too.
Cuts? Is that what you did?
I wanted to play Santa... Not really. They don't have that many cuts, is the thing.
There you go. Yeah.
AM radio was a mild hit. Father of Mine, same thing.
Thought there was more hits!
But yeah, Santa Monica was... that's my favorite. That's the banger. I am so happy to see all the jealousy around the league that we have Matty Tkachuk. Did you see that photo from the game against Vancouver where there's the scrum in front of the net and he and Quinn Hughes are, like, laughing? They're, like, engaged in a scrum in front of the net and the two of them are laughing at just the ridiculousness of all of it. Here we are in the NHL. Look at us and look at this nonsense. It's great.
What is he doing laughing? Punch that guy and get him off his game.
Other buddies.
Friends out. Don't be cutting deals. Cutting deals out there. Don't like it.
Father.
Oh, I got a taker for the kids.
Good.
Perfect.
Who is it? Do you know them at least, or
acquaintances? Yeah.
Badger Lake, Boomer. Buddy has a heated shack with a satellite dish out there already. That's what I'm talking about. Pinder, I think you might actually like it because you sit around with it's visiting.
Oh, I could get into it. Yeah, I don't know that it's high on the list in terms of we were talking about first thing you do, but I'd be into that. Yeah, like get the right crew.
No, where Vegas would probably be my first thing. I guess I was just thinking in terms of could I take a day here and go somewhere and just sit and ice fish and drink for a few days. I don't even know if you're. I
can
don't
I take
even
a day
know.
And drink
if,
for a few days.
Take an afternoon and drink for a
couple days.
Now knowing that Pinder hates them, I like Everclear even more. Well, I don't know if that's
there you go.
Why.
No. Sorry about your hate for Jacob Markstrom. That's a shame.
The whole first album are bangers, apparently. So there
I
you
think
go.
They were. I don't know that the test of time is... We'll see.
You need to play more Creed. I don't know that that's accurate.
Yeah, that feels like a... Not... No. It's a good song. Good tune.
What color blazer? I knew a guy.
All right. See you tomorrow, buddies. Oh, come on. Not yet. Too soon. It's Creed bombing you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
If you're not hammering Creed, you're not Creed bombing. You can't bring up Creed without Creed bombing. Come on.
Boom.
Boom.
Go ahead. Your mic's off.
All right. He's done. Well,
See ya.
Kevin, what you want to talk about with Boomer in Come the Morning? On. Brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. The 4x4 sales event is on now. Experience the Varsity value where everybody rides. VarsityChrysler.com.